The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host.
Annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
I must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We made it in. It was a late night, but we dragged ourselves in. Because we love the opportunity to be on right after the game. We rarely have that during the season because of Patriots Monday. But we're all here. Andy's here. Paul's here. Even Eric's here. We had our doubts, but he showed up.
I was just finishing up SPFW.
We know that, you know, on travel days, you need a little extra time to pack. You're a very,
meticulous.
Meticulous
fastidious.
Packer.
Fastidious?
Yeah, fastidious.
I thought he was an expert packer.
Fuss budget, maybe. but Eric's here.
No, the lack of sleep has done nothing to curtail Andy Hart.
No, it's only made him worse.
It's increased it. Did you see my GR
yes,
tweet?
Yes, I did.
Kevin's in
Kevin,
the booth.
Can what? You, the mic sounds a little off.
Sounds fine to me.
Yeah, it sounds okay.
Maybe it's your headset that's
just
off.
Put it up just maybe a little bit.
He's telling him how to do his job.
He's ignoring you.
Okay. Anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. So, guys, let's get right into it. Patriots lose, what was the game?
27-17.
I'm
not even making fun of him for that.
Who cares?
That happens to me in almost every preseason game. I have to actually look to see what the final score is.
But the big story was, of course, how Bill Belichick used his players. Most of the frontline guys did not play, obviously, because the Patriots have three games in a span of 10 games. This next game against whoever they're playing.
Tampa. This is going to be a long show for Fred, I can see.
Oh, boy.
Whatever the score was, whoever they're playing.
We defended him off the top. I'm now cutting
points. We expect to see a lot of these guys. But in this game, it was a big opportunity for a lot of guys fighting for jobs. Belichick said it was a big week for a lot of guys. This is what he meant. It all led up to big opportunities in the games. And we're going to talk about how guys like that fared in the game. And so let's get right into it. So, Andy, we'll start with you. If you had to pick one thing that you think, positive or negative, that you got out of this game, what would it be?
Well, I'm a positive guy, so I'll go positive because I think the negative one is going to get beaten to death by the fans, and obviously that's the tackle situation. But Jermaine Cunningham, I thought, flashed as much as ever in a Patriots uniform. Preseason, regular season, practice field, I have never seen him that active, and some of it was complimentary rushing. It was Mark Anderson-esque, where I thought Chandler Jones had a nice pressure early that led to the hit, that led to the injury on Vic. But just being there, playing both defensive end spots, he started the left side, moved to right when Chandler Jones went out. I said to you, and you apparently have said this previously, he looks significantly bigger. Now, if you're Ian Rappaport of NFL.com, and carrying his water, you say, you know, he benefited as much as anybody from having an offseason this year, and the lockout hurt him more than anybody. To me, that's just an excuse. I mean, there's probably, what, I don't know, 10,000 weight rooms in this country, and because he couldn't come to the one at one Patriot place, he wasn't able to be in shape last year. I think that's ridiculous. I also don't think it's accurate. I think there's probably a portion of, you're now a defensive end. Put a little weight back on. Get a little stronger. You got to hold up against the run. You're not a linebacker anymore, so your flexibility, your coverage aren't as necessary. But, you know, aside from a terrible post-game interview, which he said that football 25,000 times.
That's the game of football.
That's the game of football. I thought he flashed, and that's intriguing to me. As I said to Paul, and Paul got mad at me, he never touched a quarterback last year. Literally, never touched a quarterback.
I just thought it was a little unnecessary and very otherwise very positive note. About
touched the quarterback four times in his previous two seasons, touched the quarterback three times last night. I'm a positive man. That's a positive step.
And once very hard, too.
Yes.
As they continue to show
broke
on ESPN.
Something in Michael Vick. Ribs, cartilage, you know, no ribs, but cartilage, you know, and all these.
And you're right. I did notice that early. I didn't know what it would translate to, but he looks bigger. And as a result, I think he's just a little quicker off the line, a little bit more power off the line. And we'll see. I mean, you know, maybe this guy is reborn.
And, you know, I have my doubts about Rob Ninkovich being the left defensive end. I'm starting to think maybe that's where Jermaine Cunningham in the next year or so ends up as he gets a little bigger and stronger. I don't think he's an elite pass rusher. I think he's a capable pass rusher at times, and that's what a lot of teams put at that left defensive end spot. Your Chandler Jones, your superstar first-round pick, is on the right side.
Right.
Your left guy's a little bigger, plays the run.
Yeah.
Maybe gets a few cleanup sacks. So I'm intrigued by that advancement. And I've been down on Cunningham. I mean,
sure.
It's the first time he's showing up.
Yeah.
And by the way, all
career.
The hit he made on Vic, you know, for those players who think they can't hit the quarterback hard anymore without getting a flag, textbook how to hit a quarterback.
Helmet to the side.
Hurt him without getting a flag.
Shoulder into his ribs.
Right.
And
it can be done.
That's a great hit. Terrible play by Vic.
Yeah.
Terrible play to put himself in. And I don't care, preseason, regular season, postseason. You don't turn your back on the line. That's like high school stuff.
I was thinking that on the Eagles team, on their page, on their Eagles.com radio show, they really should be talking about the backup quarterbacks because they certainly come into play more.
Well, the guy's only played
on a team like that.
He's only played 16 games once in his entire career.
Right.
And
that's where it's important on that team.
My guess is they're talking about the dominating victory.
We're looking at about 10. Yeah. But they, by the way, they'd make you blush. About 10 years into his career
come
now
from behind,
at this point.
Dominating victory.
You know,
yeah.
He's still running around. I can't believe I saw an NFL quarterback just turn his back to the rush. That's the stuff that, you know, like the rookies do. And you say, oh, he's got to learn how to not to do that. And, you know, that he put himself in harm's way, and Cunningham took full advantage.
And if he doesn't learn, I mean, I'm sure he's not as fast as 10 years ago when he came into the league.
And he's not going
to
learn.
He has to adjust. It's like a pitcher who loses a little stuff off his fastball. You've got to adjust and start, you know, using some other pitches.
When's he going to learn? I mean,
I don't know.
It might be too late. That horse has left the barn. Yeah. That's the way he plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for them, it's unfortunate because you're not going to get a full season. You're not going to get your $100 million worth. And you're probably not going to be the team you could be.
Jermaine Cunningham, positive. Eric, positive or negative? Big story out of the game for you.
I'll go with a positive in Bobby Carpenter. Just the fact that he's able to contribute a lot more than I think I would have given him credit for, given, you know, all the teams he's bounced around and played for, and he's going to have to contribute with all of the injuries that and moving parts that they still have at linebacker. Negative, I was a little disappointed that Chandler Jones didn't show up as much as he did the previous week.
He played in three series, I think, total.
Yeah.
And he didn't do much.
Yeah.
Well, I give him the pressure on
I thought he created the first hit the injury that Cunningham
to
Vic. Had.
Now, he had a terrible play where he bit down inside on a fake and let Vic run for 5 yards.
The very play before that.
Right.
Or maybe two plays before it.
I mean, he that's didn't play
happen.
That much.
Yeah,
but I mean, and part of the disappointment is that he didn't get to play that much.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him continue to build on what he had done the previous week.
Well, he's probably going to play a lot this next game, I would in addition.
Yeah.
Right.
You're correct.
Yeah.
I
think.
So, I mean,
he also played against a bad tackle,
even though he was out there. Yeah. What?
He also played against the backup tackle, according to the Eagles guys that joined us on the pregame social. They've had, obviously, they lost Jason Peters, so they've been sort of scrambling. They thought Demetrius Bell, the former Buffalo Bill, was going to be the guy. Hasn't been the guy. King Dunlap is a career backup, according to the Eagles guys, and not really very strong. He's the guy that played last night.
Not a king.
Not a king.
But I will say, you know, when it comes to...
He dropped a lap because he's done.
Yeah.
Fred once said.
Fred has no energy.
Fred can't wait to get on that plane to just fall asleep. I can see it.
Just
The bus.
Paul, positive and or negative?
I will stick with the boys, and I'll go with a positive one.
Wow.
We're just
glossing over this game.
Well, I mean, the offensive line, to me, if you're asking for one storyline that is
Cannon
overwhelming
sticks.
To me, it was offensive line.
Right.
And the fact that Solder is involved in this, still has reached the point of concern. But on a positive side, we talked about all the guys that had opportunities, and they got opportunities for the most part in the first half against frontline players. Some of the secondary defensive backs, I think, showed up a little bit. Obviously, Ebner has been a guy who's been flashing in camp a little bit. He made a nice play to get a pick late in the first half. Marquise Cole, I thought, kind of ran around, flashed, showed some good tackle, good tackling, good speed.
Yep.
Another guy, not a secondary player, but Brandon Bolden muffs a punt and comes right back about, 5 minutes later. Goes down as the gunner on the punt team, makes a really nice play. Now, listen, they're all guys that aren't going to be, major contributors, if at all, if they're even here. But, I think you have opportunities to play against frontline players, and I don't think the Patriots guys, their secondary guys, embarrassed themselves. I thought they were competitive. I think Bill used the word we were competitive. Obviously didn't make enough plays to win the game. That's entirely true. I thought they went out there and they competed. They had problems on the offensive line that eliminated any chance they had of establishing any offense because they absolutely could not handle the Eagles' speed up front from the offensive line standpoint, from a protection standpoint. Mallett and Hoyer, I don't think, had much of a chance last night. That's the negative side.
I'll take another positive. I cut ties with Mallett last week. I thought he took a positive step forward. I thought he, and Paul and I talked about this, I thought he eliminated three-quarters of the abysmal throws he made last week. I thought he was competitive. Mm. He obviously completed a decent amount of passes.
10 for 20,
yeah.
10 for 20, yeah. 105
isn't
yards.
Good.
No, but for him,
it looks better than 5 of 7.
Step
yes.
up.
Well, it's progress.
But
I don't even care about the completions.
Right.
He eliminated the Jamarcus Russell throws that I thought he had a half dozen of last week. I thought he was just more competitive, more comfortable.
He had one swing pass. The little...
I didn't think. I thought the one throw that he made, there was a... The first third down, there was a guy underneath on an out, and there was a guy at the sticks on an out. It looked like he split him right down the middle.
Right.
Not sure who he was throwing to.
I think he knew.
I think he underthrew Branch.
Yeah, hopefully somebody catches it.
But aside from that, Andy's right. It wasn't all over the place. Now, I would also say there was a pretty bad pick that he threw that was negated by a roughing the passer that had nothing to do with the pick.
Mm-hmm. But at least it was a legit pick.
After he had thrown the ball. No.
How many times in the NFL, you see, you throw an out, and the guy makes a play and cuts in front of an out, and that's a pick.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's better than there's a guy crossing, and he throws it 10 yards over his head to Nate Ebner, who's just waiting.
The only thing I would say, Andy, is... As we talked about during the game, there was three of those.
No, I know.
That the guy broke on his out pattern, two of which they knocked down, one of which they picked.
But he needs to learn that because he has confidence in his gun that,
yeah,
I can make that throw. That guy won't get there.
And
well,
part
you know
of
what?
That
guy's going to get there sometimes.
And part of that is the route. You know,
right.
Because if a guy is cutting underneath your out pattern, you're not running a good enough pattern.
He showed there was a one particular pass where he completed to Branch. I think it might have been a third down, but it was anyway, Branch picked up a large gain and – Mallett stood in the pocket. It was collapsing on him. He stood in there. He waited for the last second to make the throw, hit Branch. Branch continued on.
I like the way he does that.
That kind of throw showed me that he can do the job. He's just still very inconsistent.
Gruden makes me laugh because, I'm listening to the network telecast, and at one point he goes, I like this guy Mallett. I call him the Rifle Man. Really? You do? You came up with a nickname for a third string quarterback?
And an imaginative one, too.
In the production meeting,
the rifle,
he sat, so the Rifleman's going to start tonight or play a little bit, and Bill's like, who? What are you talking about?
Right.
God almighty.
Yeah, so
Another Dante Hightower, another positive. We're going to stick positive here. I thought calling the plays, I wrote about this in the Read and React, but just the ability to pick up the defense, be comfortable. I thought it was ridiculous that he said he didn't know who was talking to him in the helmet. Obviously, it's a defensive
player. Then I realized it was Matty P.
Who did you think it was, God?
I thought one of his best
Luke,
plays.
I am your father.
They had strung out McCoy, and McCoy had, deked out about three people, and then Hightower came and tackled him in the open field. Really athletic.
He was very excited play. About that play. I know the one
and he should
about.
Be. Yeah. That was a good tackle.
On the Eagles sideline.
Yeah,
right?
He can play.
Yeah,
I'm ready to dub him. He can play. I don't know if he'll be good, great, really good, whatever, but he can play.
I think Spikes showed up. I think, you know, he took a good step in this game, you know, towards just getting out.
And that was another
field.
Overall positive. I mentioned some of the backups that got a chance, but they did have about half of the starters on defense. Offensively, you know, most of the guys weren't there. But defensively, you had Hightower and Spikes and Kyle Love and Jermaine Cunningham is certainly a guy who's going to be in the mix. And you had your starting safeties with Gregory and Chung. So you had about five or six starters.
Yeah.
You were missing Mayo and Wilfork, and you were missing your corners with Arrington and McCourty. But the corners that played.
Dowling played almost the whole game.
Yeah, now that could be looked at as a positive.
Well, just the fact that he made it through, that's a positive.
Good spin. Good spin.
Now, you could, might be able
and
to,
I didn't hear
you
his
might
name.
Be able to do a simulcast now with the Eagles.com
right.
guys with that kind of slant.
He made it through the game, and we didn't hear his name. Right. Which is a positive for a cornerback.
But what does it mean that he's playing through the whole game?
And I thought the corners struggled.
I think he needs the work. And I think
could
they
be.
Believe that. Yeah.
Could be.
Because in this next game, you know, McCourty's going to be back out there with Arrington.
Yeah. But the issue is, starting camp, Dowling was the clear starter,
yeah,
I thought.
And it was
now,
McCourty and
that water
and
is
Dowling.
Muddy. I think Arrington may
that's
be back
why
to
I brought
starter.
That up about the starters. You had guys, and even Sterling Moore is a guy I think people felt like was part of the rotation. He struggled, I thought, last night, too.
Yeah.
He and Dowling, I don't think, were very good last night.
I think overall, you got to look at the defense in the first half and say, okay, they competed. They looked
that's
okay.
That's the word. Mm-hmm. That's the word.
On offense, I think Marcus Cannon is a guard in this league.
I said that all along. Now, he has to prove that, by the way. I've said that all along, but what if he plays guard and gets kicked?
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like, I would say he's not a tackle.
But
in this
I think
I don't know what he is.
He's just not good in space.
That's being generous.
And
he
think,
was as bad as I think I've seen a guy, just bitch slapped left
now,
and right.
One of you guys wrote that Tom Curran had a report that Vollmer was close to. Thank goodness, and let's hope that he can play once he gets in pads because they need that tackle spot.
Well, Andy and I think when we were doing a podcast previewing camp, both predicted that Vollmer would end up starting the year on PUP. So the fact that he looks like he's coming off is very encouraging.
I think they
if he makes it to the regular season between now.
Again, you can't go by what Bill says. You go by what he does. And the fact that they're not scrambling to fill that tackle spot tells me they knew he was going to be back before the season started.
Yeah, because, but what about not scrambling to have anybody at left tackle who could play?
But Fred, is you don't know that they're not scrambling.
That's true.
That's the part that kind of concerns.
But they haven't,
tell he's tired. He's just giving in.
They haven't made a move.
But you understand what my point is? And you might be absolutely right. I don't know. But if they were to bring – I mean, if they were going to bring in a guy tomorrow, this is how it would be. You wouldn't know about it.
Right.
That's just the way they do business.
But
like Brian Waters, we never knew about it, and then he was our starting guard.
All of a sudden,
right
he was our starting guard
but
for
this,
opening night.
This is a big week. If they're going to make a move for tackle, they're going to have to do it this week.
Yeah,
you
but
would
who's
think.
Out there? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Who's out there that could actually start and be an upgrade over what you have?
We talked about that a little bit in the pregame social. There's some veterans that have been talked about for other teams. The Jets, Wayne Hunter's getting killed in New York. So they're clearly, they've been talking about that a lot in New York, and they're talking about guys like Vernon Carey from Miami. Well, it looks like he's just done. Doesn't want to play, retired. Now he's coaching high school football in the Miami area. So I'm not sure he's an option. Marcus McNeil, the former Charger, another guy that's been thrown out for the Jets. He's retired. Supposedly some neck problems preventing him from playing anymore.
Kareem
McKenzie's another guy. Not sure that any of these guys are options. Chad Clifton is the one that we have heard connected to the Patriots. The Patriots denied there was any connection, any communication or any plans to bring him in. Who knows what the truth is there? Where do you go? What option out there is better than what you have? I don't know if there is one.
Now, go over to the other side with Solder. The few times that I watched him, he didn't look that good. He looked like he was getting pushed around. He didn't have much help. Gronkowski wasn't in there to chip away at a guy and help him at times. Logan Mankins wasn't in the game. So, he was on an island, but you gotta.
That's the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the Eagles have a pretty formidable.
Yep. Great. According to Dave Spadaro.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But
Trent Cole's very good.
Got some talent. I mean, this is a talent.
No Hall of Famer, but a very, very good defensive line.
They
Although Andy Reid said he didn't think they played well, the defensive line. Which guy?
He killed the match. What it looks like.
He killed the defensive line.
They certainly have a lot of talent. And, you know, they didn't live up to it last year. But they've got a lot of talent out there. And it showed last night. They definitely outperformed the Patriots' offensive line.
But we can't. I mean, to me, you can't make excuses like that. Oh, well, Will Smith's pretty good. Oh, well, Trent Cole and Jason Babin are pretty good. Well, every week you're going to play a guy like that.
And in terms of sheer talent, they haven't faced guys like Mario Williams,
right,
that we're going to see twice.
If Marcus Cannon is playing right tackle when they play the Bills against Mario Williams, start Mallett. Sit break. I can't even imagine. And like Paul said and you said, oh, okay, well, they didn't help with Gronkowski or well, now you're taking yourself out of what you want to do on offense if you have to have two tight ends with Fells and Gronk in blocking. Now you can't be the offense that you want to be.
What did you think about the amount of screens and bubble screens and
Paul, you want to take that
one? That they called?
I think it was in part due to what was happening. I think that they were trying
to reactionary. It wasn't game plan.
It was really pretty early.
I think it was both. I think that they wanted to run some screens, but I think they ran a lot of screens as a part of a reaction to what was happening with that rush. I don't think they could handle it. No, Andy's right. They ran. I think I had five of them in the first quarter, so clearly they wanted to run some screens. I mean, that was part of the game plan. But to me, I just think I don't. It's only preseason, so I'm not concerned about it. But I don't want to get too reliant on screens. You know, they didn't have Hernandez and Gronk, and they didn't have Lloyd and Welker. So where else are you going to go? It makes some sense to try to get the ball downfield.
Ridley didn't really play till late in the second half.
To use some screens to do it. So
that was a positive, actually.
Well, the fact that he played at all.
Yeah. Last time we saw him, he was in a. Right. What's the guy's name? Paul, the Nike guy from the Jordan commercials? He looked like
Mars Blackman.
He looked like Mars Blackman just walking around with that curled up hat.
You know, he did a couple times that thing.
Yo, money, why do you want to do this to me?
Yeah, I'm all set.
I mean, it's got to be the shoes.
He runs up to the line, you know, doesn't see a hole and makes a nice cut, but then he
turns his back.
He kind of jumps into the,
That was a bad run.
Yeah.
And you eliminate any chance of a big play.
Right.
Because you can't split two guys and break free. You're stumbling backwards. It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what they do to break him of that habit.
I don't think they can. He's done it all his life.
Wow.
And there's if that's true, I think it's hard to break.
You really
a guy
take yourself out of the play.
Yeah.
That's it. You're going to fall backward for whatever you get.
And like I said, I'm not saying he can't be a competitive running back or decent running back, but to me that eliminates a possibility of something more on those plays. And especially, remember last year he did it on the goal line? That's inexcusable to do it on the goal line.
Right. It is. So, but it was interesting to see both Ridley and Vereen in the backfield for a couple plays, a little split back there. You know, I'm sure there's a ton of things they can run off of that. We didn't really see much last night.
And maybe that's part of the solution to a pass rush problem. If you have a back on both sides, that gives you a benefit in terms of protection. Maybe that's something you do. But I still say, the more you have to think about that, the less you're thinking about just being an aggressive, dominant passing attack.
You are letting the other team dictate to you,
so,
which you don't want to do.
I think that has to be your biggest concern at this point. I know Paul and I were sort of late to this party and
poo-pooed it. I've been very stubborn, I'll admit.
But Solder, how many times are you going to say, oh, that was a bad game?
That was two bad games.
That was three bad games. I mean, sooner or later, he's not good enough for the position right now.
But
give him credit for standing up and saying,
and talking
better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was, he's a very soft-spoken guy, and he's a man of pretty few words. He doesn't really articulate, for a long time, but stood there, there were a lot of people asking him questions about his performance and whether or not it was good enough, and they were tough questions, and he stood there and answered them all.
How tall is he?
It's like
6'8". 6'8".
Is he 6'8"? Because Gruden was saying he's 6'9". I'm like, this guy's growing still.
Because
every time somebody mentions him, he grows another inch.
Gruden is like me, the king of exaggeration. Just take it to the next level.
Yeah. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We did get lunch today, didn't we? Did I order anything?
Yes.
I did last night.
I did it via proxy.
Yes.
We ordered it like 3 a.m. last night.
Yeah, I did it at proxy.
Did you put it on right?
This morning, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to the emails. Jay writes in, I tuned into Philly Sports Radio this morning, was surprised to hear the hosts and callers talking about why the Eagles won't make the playoffs. Then the host posed the question to their callers, should last night be cause for anger or alarm? Did they watch the same game I did? I thought Philly handled us pretty well. Specifically, they complain about a third-string quarterback carving up the Eagles' first-string defense with screen passes, the late hits by the Eagle defender, and Vic's refusal to protect himself. Several callers pointed out that the Patriots didn't even play any starters, including one they kept referring to as just the Gronk, like he is some kind of superhero now.
Well, he is.
I know there are pockets of Patriots fans who sometimes think the sky is falling and the season is lost, but the Philly crowd puts them to shame. Rough bunch that is reminiscent of a lot of Red Sox right now, Red Sox fans right now. Well, Philly fans have always been tough. I mean,
they are worse than Boston fans in terms of being tough on the teams, but I would tend to side with the Philly fans. I don't think that was an impressive performance last night by the Eagles. The only part I would disagree with is I don't think anybody carved them up.
Right.
But
I think the biggest one is just the quarterback.
The penalties.
That's what we talk about. If you don't have stability or confidence in your quarterback situation,
that was one of the things.
I'd be worried. Vic is not going to finish the season. He's going to miss games at some point.
Right. But I also would say you played your starters into the third quarter. So you played your starters for about two quarters and a series. And how many defensive penalties did they rack up during that time? It's not like some third-string guy who's running around trying to be over-aggressive is late hit. Darrell Tapp had like three defensive penalties that kept drives alive.
I think they had like 140 yards and
161.
Yeah. I mean, that's
I'm sorry, 131.
That stuff that just doesn't go away when the regular season starts. Like like I said, Darrell Tapp, three different penalties that extended drives.
Yeah,
16 total for 131.
That's New England outrageous.
And you could sit there,
Oakland Raider-ish.
But you can whistle past the graveyard and say, well, we would have stopped him if not for the penalties that kept the drives alive. Well, no, you kept committing them, though.
Right.
And your starters were doing the infractions.
And that was the total for the game, but the first half when those starters were in, 10 for 91.
And a lot of
those were game's worth.
And a lot of those were on defense.
That's a bad game's worth. Right.
That's
exactly.
A bad game's worth.
Right.
And a lot of that was on defense.
Yep.
And those are inexcusable to me. The roughing the passer on Mallett on the interception was so far after he had thrown the ball, and it wasn't even a hard hit. Like at least if you're coming and you can't stop yourself that's a penalty of aggression. The penalties they had last night to me were penalties of stupidity.
Jake Beckett had a late hit. Good hit, but late.
I thought that was close.
It was very close.
It was late.
Not to sound like Johnny Homer, but I thought that was.
Yeah.
I thought it was a clean hit, and I thought it was right on the edge of being okay.
All right.
In terms of tardiness.
Cavern in Gainesville says, quick question, if Cunningham continues to play well and add to the pass rush, does this decrease the chances of Andre Carter coming back? I'd still like to add Carter and use Cunningham as a situational runner.
I'd still like to add Carter no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I just think he's a good guy
to have
on your
team. Enough good football players.
Yeah.
Especially, I just don't think they're very deep.
Make Carter the situational guy.
I do think, well, probably, because I think it's unrealistic for a guy, first of all, a guy his age, secondly, a guy his age coming off a pretty serious injury, to have the same kind of production that he had a year ago, which was kind of unexpected as it was. So I think you're right, Fred. If he does come back, a situational kind of role for him might be more suitable.
Steven from UC Davis. Says, how much did Ryan Mallett impress you, and how disappointing was Brian Hoyer considering the pass protection?
Mallett impressed me. I said that earlier. I've been very down on him. I thought this was the first real time I saw what Bill has been saying, positive strides, making a progression here, maybe trying to build on something. And you're right. It wasn't under ideal circumstances. Paul talked about it. He did a nice job sort of stepping up, sliding.
Yep.
It's not always pretty. It's kind of got that Marino look to it where it's a 6'6" guy who's a little awkward.
He's not a smooth guy.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as it works, that's all he has to do. It doesn't have to look pretty.
Yeah.
And I thought he did that a few times.
It wasn't a big step, but it was a step in the right direction.
What I like about that element.
Yeah, 10 of 20, we need to pump the brakes on the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, what I like about that element of his pocket presence and pocket mobility is so many times you see young guys when they get back there, they step on that back foot, and then when they look to throw. And when they can't throw, they immediately look to run and get out of there.
Well, I think he knows.
Even if they're not runners.
But I think he knows.
Like Rohan Davey could not run. But yet, at practice, how many times do we see him just start running around? Ramblin' Roe in one of the preseason games, remember?
Yes.
Oh, I do.
And Rohan Davey was not a running quarterback.
No.
That was not his nature.
Despite the racist assumptions of some people coming out of college.
So I thought that element of his game was impressive. When it wasn't there immediately, he didn't necessarily panic and look to get out of Dodge. He stepped around, moved around, shuffled, And like you said, it was 10 for 20, so I'm not getting
lost.
But
he eliminated the abysmal plays.
And I did think that he was under every bit as much duress as Hoyer was. And I think he was more impressive than Hoyer in handling it last
year. Yeah,
Hoyer
wasn't good.
And like we said, he didn't have Gronkowski, didn't have Hernandez, didn't have Welker, didn't have Lloyd. You know, he wasn't looking at, you know, the top guys as targets.
Didn't have capable tackles.
Gaffney wasn't in, you know. If
not according to the officials, who gave him a penalty late in the game.
Really?
Yeah. Number 10, holding.
We were like packing up, and I go, did he just say 10? And we were like looking around.
Pretty sure it was Jesse Hollywood.
Yeah, I think it was Holly.
All right, food's here, so we'll take a quick break. We got a lot more emails to get to. We'll be here until 2 o'clock with this post preseason game 2 coverage on PFW in Progress. We'll see you in a bit.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo sacks at Jerod Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really
hot. It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays,
yes,
they do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts.
Jesus.
the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. We're talking about the Patriots' 27-17 loss last night to the Eagles. But, hey, you know, first half, very few Patriots starters played, but they competed. The guys that were out there competed, and I think that's the positive you take from the game. Yeah, there were some things that, you know, we'll have to watch the film and correct those mistakes. There were plenty of those. But overall, I feel good about the defense, what I saw last night. So I'll take that out. Didn't feel too good about the offensive line, particularly the edges. And then, you know, the backup quarterbacks are the topic for a lot of people. I think at least Mallett made a step in the right direction. So,
yeah, I agree with you. He had a better game than he's had a practice.
Yep.
I'll say that.
Yeah, I would agree. Nope. And Nate Ebner, I thought, continues to be a ball magnet. It wasn't perfect, but there are times where he bites on things, and you can see that he hasn't played a lot and has some instinctual and read things. But I'm still intrigued with the fact that a guy who didn't play defense in college has looked competitive as a safety. I'm intrigued by
that. I was waiting for him to lateral the ball on his interception run back.
Or try to kick it.
Right.
Through the wickets. We were talking about all the positive things, and then we brought up the offensive line as a negative. The other negative that had nothing to do with the Patriots that I just thought was kind of disappointing was that you had that opportunity to play against the ones, and then Vic goes out so quick. You know, he only played about five plays, six plays, or whatever it was. So you never really got a chance to go against the true ones for Philadelphia. And played against their third-string quarterback.
And what we had talked about with the locker announcement, you know, see an athletic quarterback who might run a little bit.
Did they
bit.
Get rid of Vince Young?
Yeah, he's on Buffalo.
He's in Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
Mike Kafka is their backup, but he got hurt last week.
I don't know.
No, I actually didn't know if you were talking about the Titans, because I said Jake Locker was playing. I was thinking, yeah, you might have heard of it. He had a gun and was going to commit suicide.
Because remember, you know, last year we played Philly, and they got Vince, you know.
And it was the only time Vince Young's looked good in about 5 years.
Right.
When he was just throwing bombs.
Dan writes in, if Brady goes down this year, God forbid, do you see Mallett or Hoyer leading the Patriots to the playoffs? Also, in regards to Mallett, I disagree with Andy. He threw a bad pick and totally telegraphed that pass, although Daniel says telepathed.
I agree with that, but I think I see that all the time in the NFL. It's a normal play where a guy who thinks his arm is stronger than it is or tries to force it. My point was, that's an upgrade from the Jamarcus Russell type throws I saw a week earlier. And I'd rather him throw that and learn from it than have him throw the ball 5 yards over the receiver's head where a safety just picks it off with ease. I was glad to not see that.
One thing of note that we kind of all thought was curious, that Tom Brady wasn't even in the house. Whereas, you know, the other guys who didn't play, they knew they weren't going to play, but they hung around the bench. And
do we know they were all here? I mean, did somebody do a rundown of guys seen, guys not seen?
Well, I didn't see Welker. Did you?
I did not see Welker.
Last time we saw him, he was leaving practice early.
I didn't see Hernandez.
Didn't see him, no.
Last time I saw him, he was walking down Route 1 South when I was coming to the game.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You saw him walking down Route 1 South?
He was on the sidewalk in front of Patriot Place, wandering around, just looking up at the sky at about, I don't know, when did I... 1 o'clock yesterday, 12:30, 1 o'clock yesterday.
Maybe his car was being serviced at Rodman Ford.
He wasn't headed that way.
Anyway, so there were some other guys.
I was just
besides,
close to stopping. But
there were guys besides Brady who weren't here at all. It wasn't just Brady.
I don't
know
that. I'm just saying I didn't see.
Well, they weren't on the sideline.
Yeah. And we don't know where Brady was either.
For all I know, Welker was in a box somewhere.
You know? What does that mean? Oh, you mean a box watching the game.
Yeah.
Take it how you will.
You thought he was in a cardboard box?
No, that's not what he's talking
about. Or a Miss Hawaiian Tropic box?
So,
is that what his wife was?
Is she? I don't know.
She was a something. Hooters girl or something like that.
Let's see. Webradio at Patriots.com.
I even made Fred uncomfortable.
No, I'm just tired. hey, guys, and the international BBC personality.
Eric, that's me.
I will stop with the... This is Mark from Cheddar. I will stop with... Stop... with the rubbish one-liners, even though they did get more laughs than Eric during his comedy career.
That's true.
Ba-dum. Where did Kevin go? On a serious note, though, I do not hate Eric. Actually, I think Eric is the best.
I pity the fool.
I think Eric is the best writer on the PFW staff. It is just that making a joke at Eric's expense is like commenting on Paul's Diet Pepsi drinking or Andy's big head. Okay?
It's stupid and trite.
No, it's easy. Easy pickings, I guess, is what he's saying.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
A game for you. Biggest positive impact this season. Ready? Mayo or Wilford?
Biggest positive,
Mayo.
Positive Mayo.
Impact?
Mayo.
I don't know. Maybe I might have to say Wilfork.
That's not a good game for you to say I don't know.
Yeah, not a bad answer, but I don't know why you're torturing yourself over it.
Well, because it's kind of a tough question to answer. Like, I mean, Mayo is going to be who he's been.
I think we're going to hear Mayo's name more than Wilfork.
I don't think Mayo's been who he's been this summer. I think he's looked better. More athletic, more aggressive, more energetic.
Yep.
And I'm crediting the young linebackers with some of that.
Spikes or Love? Same question. Biggest positive impact?
Spikes.
Welker or Hernandez?
Hernandez.
Ebert or Welker. Ebner?
If we know who Hernandez is, if he didn't go AWOL.
Out of those two, yeah, I got to go Ebner out of those two because I don't think Ebert's going to be on the roster.
Well, and Ebert has this propensity for dropping passes that hit him right in the hands. I don't like that.
Finally, in the positives.
Eric's funny that way.
The Dunkin' Donuts pregame social or the Sun Life postgame show?
Pregame social.
Pregame social.
It was awkward, Fred. Adam Jones kept telling people on the phone, you know, stick around, join us for the Sun Life pregame show. And people were like, yeah, no thanks.
I got to work tomorrow. A lot of people were contemplating whether or not they were even going to watch the game when they found out who wasn't playing.
It's a tough one. That reminds me, though, today is the premiere of a new show on Patriots.com Radio, Fantasy Football Champs. You can follow them on Twitter at FFChamps. And,
you know the names now, right?
What's that?
You know the names now, right?
Josh DeVries and Bill Enright are hosting the show.
Not according to Kevin shaking his head in the background.
That's what it says on the website.
Oh, boy.
It's Todd DeVries and Bill Enright.
Oh, okay.
What did I say?
Josh.
Not Todd. That's
okay. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright, right? Todd?
Not Dan Enright, right?
Bill.
Who's Dan?
It's an old...
Jared DeVries?
Jared DeVries, I see what you're doing there.
But they'll be hosting
an old game show
Fantasy
producer.
Football Champs. These guys are good. They do the same, not the same show, but they do a show for SiriusXM. They're in their second year now doing that. These guys know what they're talking about. Not that B-Lo didn't.
But he didn't.
No disrespect
although
to B-Lo.
Although the B-Lo fantasy column will debut for the season in this next up. But these, not the one that's about to come out next issue.
These guys are dedicated to fantasy football.
Yet,
this is their lives. They run a website, Fantasy Football Champs. So this is all they do. So you guys out there that play fantasy football, you're getting ready for your drafts. You want to tune in at 4 o'clock today here on Patriots.com radio. Listen to Fantasy Football Champs and every Tuesday at 4 o'clock from now on. So throughout the season, they're going to be doing it. And that's part of, three new shows that footballnation.com will be supplying Patriots.com radio. One of the other shows is Kerry Byrne in Cold Hard Football Facts. I know Kerry is a big fan favorite, especially here in New England, because he always seems to have a interesting and unique take on the stats in the NFL. So, you know, Kerry won't be just talking about the Patriots. Obviously, there'll be a little bit of a focus there, but he'll be talking about the whole NFL. And then there'll be another show just called footballnation.com on Thursday. So... that starts today with the fantasy show, and then the first week of the season, all three shows will start up. So we're excited about that. That really makes that 4 to 6 p.m. slot a real solid block of football talk here on Patriots football on the show here.
Hopefully coherent.
You know, on the Patriots.com radio
network. The radio on the Patriots.com.
See, Russell Wilson scheduled to start for the Seahawks this week. Yeah. Could be another rookie in line to start the regular season.
Short rookie.
Yeah. He's an impressive guy, just too small.
Let's finish up with Mark's email. Biggest negative impact, Solder or McCurdy?
How about Cannon?
Well, that's not the choice.
For the season,
oh,
he's asking.
Solder. What?
Solder or McCurdy?
I'll say Solder.
The biggest potential negative impact
is McCurdy.
Is Solder. I think Solder. I think Solder could ruin this season. If you don't have a left tackle, your whole team goes down the tubes.
Well, but I think you could. I think you can help him out more than you can help out.
Yeah, but that really limits your offense. It affects your offense.
And if you limit your offense, now you can't give up as many points on defense.
Well, but they have more weapons on offense to go to than they do on defense to help to
not
afford
if Brady's
to
on his
give
back.
Up to help out. No, but if they're
you know we talked not, about
the listen, who knows how it's going to all work out? But if you have to use Gronk to help out. It's not like you can put another one of the weapons on the field to replace Gronk and have him go out. You lose a weapon because he's an eligible receiver.
Unless you're the Giants' defense and list 12 starters.
Right. That's a shot at the Giants' depth chart, which listed 12 starters on defense.
I thought Pat Hanlon knew the game of football.
Two defensive ends.
I changed that, by the way.
How about Gaffney or Stallworth? Biggest negative impact?
Neither.
I don't see them.
I think Stallworth is in trouble for a roster spot at this point. I think Gaffney's injured, so I'm not sure what.
But I don't think either can have a negative impact. They can only be positives.
Yeah,
there's like no expectation. They're extra receivers. They're
fourth or fifth receivers.
I guess, you know, if one's coming across in the Super Bowl and drops it, that's a negative impact. But
I don't see either one of them really having a negative impact.
And finally, he has Cunningham or Brace.
I don't get the question.
Yeah,
it's a tough one.
I mean, I agree with.
I don't
like
think
Solder
will,
or McCourty could really be detrimental to the team.
Yeah, but Brace, I don't think, will be in a position where he can really hurt the team. He's either going to not make the team
Cunningham,
or he'll be a backup.
Because I gave up on him
Cunningham
last year.
Has a chance to be a contributor, and if he's not, I don't think it necessarily
back
hurts
last
the team.
Year when, right. I don't know, you went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's funny how Andy and I use that to our advantage when we feel that
Fred, I need to I was a little inappropriate in my questions to Jermaine Cunningham last night. I went a little quicker to the
yeah.
Is this a big year for you because you did nothing last year? Was a wash. It was like the fourth question. It wasn't right.
Well, it wasn't right the way he was answering the questions.
That's true. And I don't think it's a cheap shot. I mean, the truth is never mean. He had nothing last year. He didn't touch a quarterback. Zero anythings across the board. And he played in 9 games. But still, it might have been a tonality issue.
Last thought, could Solder's struggles be partly down to the increased screen game, and at the moment he is mentally thinking more about his screen assignments and less on the actual play? At least that would give hope that he will improve with time.
No, because we've seen him in one-on-ones, and he's looked pretty much the same.
I think it's mental. I think it's mental because he's thinking, oh, geez, I can't get beat to the outside, and then they bowl right over him, and then he's thinking, I got to really, you know, dig my heels in because I'm not strong enough to really deal with this. It's gonna and he beat me to the outside. I think he's like a baseball hitter who's guessing the wrong pitch every single pitch.
I thought for sure you were gonna take on the screen aspect of that.
No,
you're the one who hates the screen.
No. I've been
last night. The quote was, "I've seen enough of the screen."
Well, I thought we ran too many screens last night, but I don't hate the screen in general. It's been a big part of our offense. I just don't really necessarily differentiate between a screen to a back as a screen to a wide receiver, which we've run thousands of over the last several years, and including last year when Nate Solder was blocking for those. I don't think he's being asked to block for screens any more often now than he
thousands?
Was last year.
I think the difference between the two is the wide receiver screens seem to happen a little faster, whereas the running back screens take a little bit more.
Well, the wide receiver ones are harder to block for.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
for everybody involved. Part of it's that stupid block that I said Matt Light could never make, and every once in a while he'd make it and surprise him.
Alex from Philly writes in, it's been a while since I emailed in, but I had some observations about the game. First, Brian Hoyer stinks. watching him throw a deep ball is painful. Second, Mallett played okay, but he still looks very inaccurate on a lot of throws. Third, the defense played better than I expected, seeing how the Eagles were playing the starters in the second half. Lastly, the O-line does not look good, especially Solder, who was repeatedly beaten most of the night. And I agree with Andy, Marcus Cannon is not a right tackle in the NFL. Also, is the Jeff Demp signing only for kick punt returns, or will we see some time on offense? If he does, what does that mean for Woodhead? All right, guys, keep up the good work. Can't wait until the regular season. Preseason sucks.
I think the Demps thing starts out as kick returns, and you attempt to grow it from there. Where that goes, I don't know. I mean, he was obviously a key offensive playmaker at Florida, and my guess is Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick will look to get him involved at some point, but I think it'll be a step-by-step process. I don't think you're going to see him go out there and all of a sudden have 10 touches on offense in week 1 or week 2.
And the disappointing thing about when they signed him was that now we're no longer able to watch entire practices and see how he's being utilized throughout the day. We're only going to be able to see, if we're lucky, a half hour's worth of practice, and half of that will be stretching. So it's too bad, because I would like to see him
run
in some of those, you know, running back pass blocking drills or catching the ball out of the backfield, lining up wide, sure, doing all those different
doing
things.
Doing Chris Berman, like, you know, whoop, as Bobby Carpenter or somebody comes out and just makes a miss.
Carpenter played okay last night, but there was one play. It was a running play to his left, and he kind of came around, looped around, and thought he had a play where he was just going to jump in the air and bear hug the guy, and just came up with air. He jumped in the air, and his arms came together, and there was nothing there.
What'd you think of Bryce Brown there? We actually talked about him pregame. Spadaro brought him up. He was a guy who apparently coming out of high school was neck and neck with Trent Richardson,
yeah,
and went to Tennessee and injuries and Kansas State and blah, blah, blah. But he definitely is a big guy with speed.
Yeah, he looked okay. He had a couple good runs that one up the middle, and when he did it, I heard a couple of the Philly writers in front of us saying that they were pretty impressed with him.
And it's interesting because their backup, I guess, is Deion Lewis.
Deion Lewis.
And they really think he looked better than him.
Deion Lewis is tiny. He's Jeff Dempsey.
Couldn't get much different. Bryce Brown and
I'm just intrigued. He's one of those like stories like Ben Gay or these guys that could have been but never were, and maybe they now could be. And I'm intrigued by those big, fast guys.
Yeah, he had, some sort of family issue that forced him to leave Tennessee and go to Kansas State to be closer to his family or something like that. And it's funny because Andy and I really didn't know the whole story, but evidently the one thing that Adam Pac-Man Jones knew last night.
Yeah, for some reason he knew the whole tale.
Spadaro talking about, Tennessee.
Vishon in New York writes in, just wanted to give my takeaway from the preseason game. The thing that stood out to me the most was the performance of Deion Branch, who more or less has been an afterthought this training camp. He seemed to do well against Asamoah and has surprised me how much gas he still has in the tank. Even when he wasn't catching balls, he seemed to be getting open. Second, the defense looks greatly improved and is shaping up to be very competitive. Lastly, though the O-line struggled, I felt more comfortable with them as they did a great job blocking early on. You guys weren't lying when you said the O-line coach was really efficient. He was receiving praise from Gruden about how well they were blocking, specifically on the screen passes. Anyway, I enjoyed the game and cursed words and looked forward to this season. My prediction, 14-2 and a loss in the divisional playoffs to the Steelers. Oh.
Well, that's kind of a downer.
That's a downer.
And Fred realized it while reading the tone of that sentence.
And the division lost to the Steelers.
Speaking of tone, someone during Kirschwood said, geez, Fred, you seem like you don't have much enthusiasm tonight. Somebody said
calling
that to
you
me.
Out.
Yeah.
They can sense enthusiasm through the text.
Yeah, through my post.
The opposite end of that. And I love Dante as much as anyone, but that's what Gruden does. He's going to blow every offensive line coach, just everybody. And it kind of devalues it. I mean, if you're going to say great things about everyone, well, then I know it's not all true, and I don't know when you...
Yeah,
unlike us, when we're positive, it means we're really positive.
And I don't care if he doesn't want to kill anybody, you know?
Right.
But you don't have to lay it on for everybody. You know, pick the guys that you truly think are elite or are doing something that is out of the ordinary in that particular game. He does it for every single guy. It's kind of tiresome.
We really turned up.
Alexandra.
I think he's an entertaining kind of guy, but his analysis, like, you know, Chris Collinsworth to me is not an overly entertaining guy, but I'd much rather hear him analyze a football game than John Gruden. You know, I think that he sometimes.
Opinions.
Sometimes,
he has opinions.
Yeah, sometimes he weighs in with opinions
widely
that aren't
considered the best.
Yeah, and he's also criticized a little bit for being so critical, kind of like the Johnny Miller of golf. Who, you know, Johnny Miller's always all over these guys, you know.
And
every 26-foot putt, this is really pretty straightforward. You should make this.
I think what Collinsworth has that makes him the best color guy is he gets what's, you know, maybe the spotters are better, but he tells you more of what's going on during the game. Gruden spends too much time talking about what he learned in the pre-production meeting.
I think you're right.
The
I think that's a good point.
But Collinsworth focuses what just
happened.
Who made the good block? Who?
He
why
does.
Did that play
he
work?
He picks up more watching the game than a lot of other
and
guys
And he sees
do.
More. Yeah. A lot of times when guys go to replays, it doesn't always back up what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Whatever he thinks he saw is usually backed up when they show the slow.
And maybe they have amazing spotters.
No, I think it's him. I just think he has a knack for
it. He's got a knack for
and
it.
And I think a coach, if you think about it, Gruden, he has had the benefit over his life of forward, rewind. For every time he breaks down film, he sees it three times.
Yeah.
I don't think Collinsworth has had that opportunity.
Minus the G.
He's not happy.
Alexander from Brazil says, hey, guys, and not Darren anymore. He'll be missed somehow.
I miss him.
We'll keep up with his tabs. We'll keep tabs.
We'll keep tabs on him.
Fred
is so tired. He's like my son when he gets overtired. And he just like starts babbling.
He's in the weeds with the English language right now.
We should talk about that because I use that expression in my edit letter, in the weeds. And Andy, you had never heard that expression
before.
Nor
had Paul.
It's in when you're in over your head.
Yeah, see, I knew what
you
meant.
Before, Eric,
I did
right,
know
sir?
What I did by context. I knew what you meant. I hadn't really heard that phrase used the way you used it. I'll admit,
my buddy,
I knew exactly what you meant and how you intended it.
My buddy Joe Amorcino, Channel 7 sports guy, used to use that all the time. Every sportscast, he would always be, 10 minutes before airtime, like, oh, I'm in the weeds.
It's a very different connotation for me and Everett. It was a very derogatory term.
No, dude, you were in the weed.
No. It had nothing to do with drugs. It was just a very derogatory term.
Well, you need to tell us what it means.
I can't. It's not in the air. It's too.
Well, give us a close proximity.
I can't.
Alexander also says, just catching today's show.
Let's go to a break.
He says, I don't know if this was addressed yet, but did someone die, Fred? Yesterday's live blogging was, yes, up to par with the game and officiating. Ooh. But still, cheer up, mate.
Issues with the officiating yesterday? Every call went against Philadelphia.
No, but I guess he's saying, yeah.
there were too many calls.
I guess I had a down tone to the blogging. I'm not sure. Maybe. It was so sad that I had to call my therapist afterwards. Was it just because 87 wasn't playing, or did someone actually die? If so, my condolences. If not, shame on you.
Wow.
You didn't bring it.
He's being called out for his
Bill Belichick
live in-game chat.
If you're doing a preseason broadcast, it should be the most important thing you do that day.
I guess so. Nick writes in, don't know if you covered this already, but did you think of Branch for a Stallworth contest, and did you think, like I did, Branch solidified his spot at number 4?
Why not number 3?
I don't know. People assume Gaffney's number
3? Yeah, and I want to know why.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think Andy's a little bit confused by that, too.
Sure.
Based on our conversations off the air.
What has
Jabbar Gaffney done as a Patriot that proves that he's better than Deion Branch?
And when did 51 catches and 13 yards a catch become, bleh, he had a terrible year last year?
You know, Gaffney's years away from the Patriots have been on par with what Branch has done as a Patriot. Now, Brandon Lloyd, you might make the argument, what's he done as a Patriot? Lloyd has had years that have dwarfed Deion Branch's elsewhere. And he comes in with a track record. Jabbar Gaffney's track record is that of a complementary receiver like Branch. I think they're very similar guys. They don't do it exactly the same, but I think they're very similar guys.
I think I can.
And Branch has that relationship with Brady. Gaffney, even though he has been a Patriot, doesn't have the same rapport with Brady.
Right.
I think people just look at it as Gaffney is a little bit younger and taller than Branch, and people,
but he's
like,
not anywhere near as good.
I know that. I'm just trying to tell you what I think people are thinking when they assume that he's the better player. That's what they're going on.
I mean, are they separated by a month or two? I mean, what are the differences?
2 years.
Didn't they come out the same time?
They did, but they're separated by 2 years. I think Gaffney
it's
may
all,
have left earlier.
I think it's always the grass is always greener. We've had Branch
on
the team.
To me, the only thing it comes down to.
Automatically, he's an upgrade. But we don't know.
I think people fixate on the bad games Deion had last year. And there were games where he flat out disappeared. He couldn't get open.
I agree.
But as what you want him to be, a complementary aspect to the offense, there are also games where he made big
plays. To me, now that you have Lloyd, you're not looking for Branch to do what needed to be done last year. So now Branch can kind of relax and be that guy that gets less attention.
Right.
To me, it's not even necessarily about the attention, although I think that's a good point. It's about he doesn't have to be the outside guy anymore.
That's what I mean,
He can
too.
Go inside.
I mean that, cause to me, that's what I meant.
I don't care if the
last
same guy.
Year, we needed him to go outside, and he just couldn't.
But I don't
do
even care if the same guy that would have covered him last year covers him this year. Inside, he's much tougher to handle.
All right, let's take
a
break.
How many times do we see it on those in cuts? You can't cover him.
I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back. tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. We're back in our normal time. Training camp is over for all intents and purposes. So we're back to noon to 2 every Tuesday and Thursday. And I just want to remind people again, premiering today at 4 o'clock is Fantasy Football Champs, get ready for your fantasy draft and your fantasy season. These guys know what they talk about. They live, sleep, eat, and breathe fantasy football. So they're going to be on Patriots.com radio every Tuesday at 4 o'clock from now until the end of the season, whenever that may be. So I guess until the end of the fantasy season. Is there fantasy in January?
I don't believe so.
It ends with the regular season, Freddie.
Yeah. So
I mean, there are some different leagues, teams do play. You know, there's crazy things you can do, but the normal ones end in the regular. Usually in like
usually
week
end,
15.
Yeah, because they don't.
To avoid the.
Right. So they'll be with us for a long time. So that starts today at 4 o'clock. Fantasy Football Champs, you can follow them on Twitter at FFChamps. And that'd be cool. They have a lot of insight. They know fantasy football. I don't know fantasy football. I don't know from fantasy football.
Now, are those shows, Freddie, going to originate from here?
Or yeah, well, today they'll be the live studio. And then going forward, they'll actually do them remotely from wherever they live. I think one guy's in New York and another guy may be in Pennsylvania.
And they're coming here today?
Today they're coming here.
Why?
You know, just for the first show, just be in studio, get to know Kevin, you know.
Why?
That's just the way it is.
Boy, is that going to be a disappointment.
No,
just
Kevin
kidding,
had
Kev. You put together that simulcast yesterday with not even close to a problem.
No,
it's very impressive, Fred.
Yeah. The only downside was having Spadaro in studio, kind of stepping all over the guys. And
well,
the,
you know what? It was too many guys. Right. He ended up with six guys, you know, seven counting Flash.
But
you know,
I think
he didn't
had
say anything.
All three of them been together, and even him as the stronger voice, they would have seen each other and kind of interacted. But he just kind of kept pushing them into the.
I just felt bad because he eventually got back to me, and I didn't want to just blow him off and be like, hey, we're going to talk to the other two guys that write for your website.
Oh, yeah, no, and I wouldn't have wanted to do that anyway. I think Andy's point is right. If they were all together, I think they would have known. Like, Adam at one point was trying to tee up Adam Kaplan and Chris from Philly, and Dave was here and didn't know that and just sort of jumped right
in. Most importantly, between you, Adam, and Paul, Andy, do you think the three of you could have taken the three of them in a fight?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the only one I'm not aware of is McPherson.
Yeah. Chris McPherson. Those two guys go sight unseen for me, so I don't know.
It would be two versus three, though, because Jones is running the other direction. No doubt about it.
Wow.
Who's that?
I think Adam's one of those guys that, you know, Andy would be locked up with one guy.
He'd be kicking him in the nuts.
Yeah, he'd run over behind him and kick him in the back of the leg and then run.
He fights dirty.
Okay, all right. He needs some of those.
And that's why he plays basketball, too, right? Talking trash, fouling.
His bark is worse than his bite.
Oh. Dan the Byman writes in, actually, before we do that, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline because Chris with the T-I-A-N is on the line, and this is the last lunch he is going to buy us as part of that three-lunch bet that he lost. Hey, Christian, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the lunch today.
Thanks for lunch.
Yes.
Thank Christ, it's over.
What's the next bet you want to make with us?
Yeah. Wow. You're a man of your word.
Could have bought a house.
Instead, you fed one at Paul.
I actually quoted Paul on Facebook last night, as in sold up. Not sold.
Oh.
What's going on? We got big problems over here. I'll push the panic button if you guys don't want to. Let's do it. Push the panic button.
I am to the point, and I have been very, very stubborn, as I said earlier in the show.
So unlike you.
I'm concerned, and the reason I'm concerned is simple.
They stink.
It's Solder.
Thanks.
I'm concerned about Solder because he is part. I mean, I know Mankins is coming back. Well, I think Vollmer is coming back. And Waters is coming back. I have no idea about Waters. But
unless Waters can play tackle, that's irrelevant to this.
Solder is the left tackle.
Vollmer is coming back for, you know, his three games a year.
Well, even if he plays 16 games, I am concerned about the left tackle. And if Vollmer ends up having to go over to left tackle, then I'm concerned about the right tackle.
Well, at least we've seen Solder play right tackle at a competitive level.
Yeah, that's true.
He's been non-competitive at left tackle.
But as people have pointed out, the people that I've sort of been scoffing at in full defense, full disclosure, Solder was removed from the Super Bowl because he was struggling at right tackle to put Vollmer in last year. So
yeah, but that was clear that they wanted Vollmer to play. You know, they waited so long to get him out there. I think it's clear that they like Vollmer. They think he's good. But you just can't count on him. So to me, Cannon is as close to being a starter as you can be, and the only reason people haven't noticed how bad he is because they're all focused on how bad Solder is.
Yeah, because Cannon's been a lot worse than Solder.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Way worse.
And You know, whether it's getting beat around the edge, inside. You know, last night with Solder in particular, Trent Cole just bull rushed him, pushed him right on his ass.
Bent him over like he owned him.
Yeah, and I mean, and I'm like, and then, well, it's a technique issue. It's leverage. I'm sure some of it's that. I don't know the position of the coach, and I'm sure a lot of it's that, but that wasn't a crazy move. That was just bang,
yep.
Right in your face, straight bull rush. And, you know, Trent Cole's good. Very good player, like you guys said, you know. But what do you do when you're up against Terrell Suggs? Well, he's injured, but, you know, like you guys said.
No, you're right.
I think right now, Solder
Christian, you're right. These guys are good players, but they're not elite.
No.
He's going to see better players than this.
Yeah. He's going to face better competition. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hopefully he gets better. That's all you can count on, is because I think we all think he's athletic, he's long, he has the potential to be what you need at left tackle, but right now it's just not coming to fruition.
If he was getting run around consistently, I wouldn't be as concerned as I am. But he's getting run around, he's getting run over, and it seems like he's getting run inside. You know, getting beaten on moves where, you know, guys, you know, making the outside move and then, you know, jumping inside on kind of a stunt. He seems like he's getting fooled, and he's getting overpowered.
Well, that's why I think it's in his head. He's guessing everything because he knows he's not strong enough. He knows if they get under him, he loses that battle. And I think that's in his head, and that affects everything he's doing. But the next step is also what we've talked about. Well, you know, Jones has really been killing him in camp, but, you know, hopefully he's killing a Pro Bowl caliber tackle. Well, if he's killing a crappy tackle, maybe Jones isn't quite as good as we think he's been in camp.
Right. It's a trickle down.
And Andy Hart, once again.
Oh, for crying out loud, I point something out that's obvious and it's negative?
No, I'm just saying, count on you.
You can't say anything on this show.
To put a rosy picture of that.
Enough with the negative. I am encouraged by the defense on the flip side of things, like you guys said.
Heck yeah.
Hightower and just the speed of the team on defense. I know that's sort of been beaten to death too in the media, but they do. They look faster. They look quicker to the ball. They look quicker to the outside.
I actually said that to Andy last night walking through the parking lot on the way home. He laughed at me.
Well,
as he's
laughing
now.
Well, I'm laughing because you guys are going to yell at me again and say I'm negative.
No, how about
when they played the Bucks last year and they dominated that? I mean, they were pretty good in the preseason for a while last year. And then they got bitch slapped by the Lions and it all spiraled out of control for the next 20 weeks from there.
Yeah, but, I mean, they did put together they put together two performances back-to-back that you were like, oh, okay, we have something here. It was just the Tampa Bay game, really.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No.
I don't think last night was as much of a point in that column. You know, nothing like Tampa Bay.
No.
Last night was nothing like Tampa Bay.
And it's been more consistent, I would say, on the practice field too, of just being around the ball.
And the funny thing about
it also was against a third string quarterback.
Well, and the funny thing about it is we may not really know much about the defense until later in the season because you got Tennessee to start, then you got Arizona. Both teams not really known for their offense at this point, particularly passing. So
David Jones's locker and Red Skelton coming out of the chute.
So it might be a while before we can get an honest assessment of how they've improved.
Yeah.
You know?
And never from you.
All right. Great job on training camp as usual, guys. Loved all the blog work. And PFW Daily, great app. Get an iPad if you don't have it. It's phenomenal.
Patriots Football Daily. Thank you, Christian.
Thanks,
Christian.
Thanks for lunch, Christian.
Now, is that
you're a man of your word.
What? Is that going to work on the new, a 7-inch iPad they're supposedly coming out with?
When is that?
I thought that was like the hubbub of one of their next.
I heard that the iPhone 5 might have a bigger screen than the current iPhone.
I had heard the next iPad they were going to have is it 7 inches the smaller model or coming down a little?
Steve Jobs was really against that, so I don't know.
Over his dead body, they might do
right.
It.
We'll see. I don't see the need for a smaller iPad.
I don't
unless
either.
There's a phone built into it.
Well, I also don't see the. Well, you know, you go bigger on the phone and smaller on. Now they're just getting closer together.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the iPad. I've never said, you know, I wish this were 2 inches smaller.
Right.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
And did you see yesterday they became the most valuable company in the history?
In the history of the world. That's amazing.
In the history.
They surpassed Die Hard Dogs?
Yeah. Wow. Die Hard Dogs now.
It's unfortunate.
Well behind Apple. Apple passed them by.
But you didn't answer the question, so that's a no.
Well, I heard rumors of that, but just rumors.
No, but would a complete new app be needed for? I mean, because if they have now, they have one iPad with one size.
A new
so
app.
All the apps.
Well, it wouldn't be a complete new app, but rejiggering would have to do to fit that format.
So now,
and
if you go to iTunes, are you going to have to
pick?
Do I have a 9
really
inch or 7?
It's really complicated because
I got 9, by the way.
It's
just
not
so
just.
You know.
It's not just, you know, the page turning horizontal, vertical, and fitting into a 7-inch. But every one of those ads done by advertisers has to be redone. You know, so
Why can't you just scale it down?
It's really, it's, you can, but you have to, someone has to do that.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have to outsource it probably, right?
Gabe.
So. Patriots Football Daily, by the way.
Great
you definitely
app.
Want it if you have an iPad. Yeah, you get all the PFW content, plus all the Patriots.com content, plus the Game Center.
Audio.
It's really cool. You can, read past issues of PFW in iBooks.
All of them?
Yeah, well, the ones that you subscribe to. All the ones that you paid for.
So if you're an original subscriber, you can get every issue?
Absolutely.
Really?
Well, that's free.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Since we started the iPad.
That was like a year ago.
Only, yeah.
Well, you know, what are you going to do?
See, I thought you could go to like 1996. To,
maybe,
exactly.
At, maybe at
like,
some point we'll go back and put make PDFs of all those old
that
ones.
That sounds like a good intern job. Just scan them all.
Back in the day, though, remember, you know, we weren't digital. We actually
had. I know. That's why I just said an intern job. Scan them all
right.
in.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really cool. Now, would there be a there'd probably be a cost involved to storing all that somewhere?
Oh, sure.
Look, if National Geographic can put all of their issues, excuse me, in one little app like that, we should certainly be able to do it since 1995.
Five.
Wait, we're comparing ourselves to National right. Geographic?
No, I'm not. He always misuses that term, comparing and making an
you,
analogy.
You just said if National if Geographic can do it, we can do it.
No, right. But his point
wait,
is
we're a zit on National Geographic's ass.
But his point is National Geographic goes back
goes
to when
in like the 1800s.
You know, we're talking about right, hundreds of years as opposed to
they're like
20.
One of the all time known magazines. They're big, and we're just a little niche publication.
And we have just a little niche of the amount of work to do compared to what they had to do.
Precisely,
that was his analogy.
Yeah, I don't really see the comparison.
The amount of work that it would take for us to get the 10 years that we don't have digital into the system is 1%
minuscule.
Of what it took
right.
National Geographic to do it.
Right, and we're less than 1% of what National
yeah.
Geographic is.
Yeah, no, sure. Well, but I mean, I
what
think
does that have to do with the workload?
Money, I mean, because it has to be stored somewhere. It's not just scanning it, but
yeah,
that now has to be stored.
The demand
stored
isn't
and,
driving that effort
well,
as of right
I,
now.
That would be my argument, yeah. Is how many people are going to be looking back right. at old issues.
Right.
All those people that buy.
Do you know that the original issue of PFW came out April of 1995? There's only, other than what people have in their homes, we only have like 20 of them here. So if you have it, keep it because.
Or if you don't want it, give it to Fred.
Yeah. Because we only have 20 left.
What do you need them for?
Well, you know, posterity.
Do you still have every issue, Andy?
That since
you've been
on,
here?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I had them all for a while and then I.
Much like everything else, he stopped caring.
No, well, they started piling up, and I was like, what am I going to do with all of these? What's my end game here? I did the same thing with Sports Illustrated. I started subscribing when I was, like, in high school, and I had every issue. And I had
well,
these boxes full of
though.
Stuff, and
well,
I'm like,
put them in those
what
binders,
am I going to do with these?
That's
nice.
Yeah, I put them in the binders, and then when I write the book, you know, Along for the Ride, The Bill Belichick Years in New England, My Inside Story.
Wow. Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, something tells me that ain't getting off the shelves.
Quote, what are you looking for, Andy?
I don't know. You to make me rich.
Let's go to back to the Ace Ticket Hotlines at 508-298-0398. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah, I think y'all more entertaining than Geographic.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Although Paul has the saggy titties.
I knew he was going to. I knew it. I would have bet everything that I had that he was going to do that to me.
I'm like Christian. I got concerns for Miles on the defense. Linebackers, Rivera and Cortodes, whatever his name is, number 90.
Cudavides?
Are not going to be on the team.
Yeah,
so.
What are you worried about them for? They're not going to play.
They're not going to be on the team.
Well, there's a better than average chance that neither makes the team.
Well, they back us, right? Right
no.
now.
They're backing up the backups.
They were backups
right.
last night.
I should be worried, but Rajah Dowling, the last quarter.
Yeah.
Couldn't tackle, couldn't cover.
Oh, come on.
I agree. He struggled. I thought he struggled.
Really?
Like crazy.
I thought he was okay. But being
the third receiver.
Struggled as much as you struggle with their names, bro.
And not against Wichita. He struggled.
Well, he's been falling down the depth chart the last week plus. I think he had a hold on a starting job that he's now lost. He played himself out of it so far in the last week or so.
If he played himself out of it, who in the devil going to replace him?
Well, Kyle Arrington.
Kyle Arrington's going to be your man.
You're awfully concerned about guys that don't necessarily factor into the equation.
Reigning NFL interception leader Kyle Arrington.
It's true.
Well, that's not that much of an upgrade, then.
Well, no, it isn't, but I'm not sure it's a huge downgrade either.
Yeah, it's almost a wash.
If you're better in the pass rush and you're better at linebacker and better at safety and you bring back McCourty and Arrington, maybe you're better overall.
And if they're going to continue, you know, the way that they're playing now, with just a strict 4-3 and having those guys be ends, you know, the Ninkoviches and the Cunninghams of the world, how many linebackers do you need?
Oh, much less.
Right.
Yeah. Especially when you have versatility with a guy.
So the fact that
Mayo can play multiple spots, Hightower can play multiple spots, Carpenter can play multiple spots.
You don't need, I mean, they could have five or maybe six linebackers on the roster.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a minimal number.
Yeah.
And you have
call,
Ninkovic, who is also the possibility to play strong side linebacker, I would think. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry about Nico Koutavidis, who again, not very good, but is what he is.
Yeah, and one of those guys will probably make the team as a special teams guy who could, you know, whether it's Tarpinian or Rivera or Koutavidis. Tracy White's banged up, so
Tarpinian
I don't know where he is.
Probably will make the team.
Yeah, I mean, he looks to me the best in terms of being able to play defense in a pinch.
Sure.
You know, I thought he looked like a linebacker last night when he was in there. He made a couple of plays that fight. Matter of fact, and I think, Eric, you wrote this in your commentary, I think he looks better this year than he did last year, and he made the team last year.
Right.
He had basically done nothing. He was injured for most of camp, and we didn't get to see him at all.
And as Fred would say, Tracy White started the Super Bowl, and you know, you were in the Super Bowl. So how bad can it be?
It's amazing how many ways we can use that phrase to our advantage or disadvantage, how we see
fits. Depending on the day and the topic.
You had Sterling Moore out there in the Super Bowl.
Stop talking. Fred wants to read an email.
WCC in San Diego writes in, got to get a few things off my chest. It seems penny wise and pound foolish to me that such a profitable, successful organization as the NFL would risk the quality of its products with scab officials this season. Freddie, Paul is silent. I think everyone's thinking the same thing.
I'm not necessarily convinced that I've seen this a lot. I know a lot of people feel like this. It's a safety issue. I don't see that. I don't know why the players are any more in danger than they would be with regular officials. You know, did Michael Vick get hit by Jermaine Cunningham last night because there were replacement officials out there?
Right.
So it's a violent game. Yeah. Guys are going to get hit. Whether the flag is thrown or not, does that increase or decrease the danger, the safety aspect? Now, listen, these guys aren't up to par. I mean, we can all agree on that. Even I could be.
Well, he says the quality, not the safety, risks the quality of the game.
Yeah, I don't know. These guys aren't up to par. They're not as good as the regular officials.
Right.
I'm not going to cry about it.
But they are officials, and it's still football.
And that's all I care about. I mean, I'm not going to cry about it the way these NFL water carriers are doing.
Yeah, they didn't bring guys over from hockey. I mean, these guys, you know, officiate football
offside
games.
Offside, tweet!
Yeah.
Oh, you've officiated games and sports before?
They're not as good.
No.
And
a four-minute major.
I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. When they get to the regular season, there's a noticeable difference in the intensity and the speed of a regular season game as opposed to what you're seeing now. They're going to get worse. And when teams like Green Bay and New Orleans and us start running with this up-tempo stuff that the Brady loves to do,
if they slow down the game, these coaches are going to be up their rear ends.
They'll be in the weeds.
Oh, yeah. They'll be big time in the weeds.
I think Bill was upset last night that they didn't ask him on that extra point. I think they just said it'll be enforced on the kickoff. And Bill was like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean? I want to take the penalty.
Right.
I want to go for two.
It was on the two, and then it was a half distance to go, and it was on the one, so we went for two.
I mean, that's the way I read it. I think he was, I think he was upset that they didn't ask him.
Speaking of Paul, the pregame social is much more enjoyable with you hosting. Adam Jones is just too je ne sais quoi commercial. And speaking of French, Eric is a delusional moron.
I think Adam's a home run.
Speaking of delusional, are we sure Merriman is not worth a look? All right, fart smellers, I'll part with my own Homer-driven delusions. We're going 15-1 in another world title this season.
Woo! That was another classic Indian Paulism last night.
What?
Sean Merriman.
Yeah.
We both agreed that we have no interest in him. But we still found a way for 5 minutes to argue because I said it's the kind of guy the Patriots have generally shown interest in, a first rounder that they don't have to pay anywhere near first rounder money for, but there's talent there, and they bring him in, and then we like morphed into this whole. Andy said, "Well, you know, are they getting a 4.5 sack guy over the last 5 years? How many years? 3 years, whatever.
6.5 over four, but I get your point.
Or they get not. Well, no, they would get the guy knowing what he is, but they would pay him nothing." And they would see if there's any talent still there.
There is.
You know, kind of like Bobby Carpenter. They knew they were getting a versatile guy who could play all three spots, but really a special teamer. But he's a first-round talent. and you pay him nothing, and maybe and then this is what happened. We went for like 10 minutes.
Bottom line,
neither one of us have any interest in him.
Juvenile writes in, tell me if you agree or disagree on what I took in from last night's game. Positives, Cunningham, Branch, and Mr. Kraft honoring our Olympians and having a moment of silence for Andy Reid's son.
Agree.
Can't disagree with that.
Yeah, all the way around.
Negatives, Jones didn't show up, Chung's injury, Hoyer Mallett, Foles fooling our secondary a lot, and washed up Trent Edwards looked great against our defense.
I agree big time with Chung. Because he got hurt, yeah. And that's the problem with him.
You know, and there's been reports, I guess NFL Network immediately said it's a shoulder injury not serious in nature.
Right.
Like last year when it wasn't serious and he missed 8 games. He was out there the next week, every week
he'd be in the locker room and he'd think, oh, this is it, he's back.
And I did read in the Globe, and we saw this ourselves, you know, in person being here. He immediately went down to the locker room and didn't have his helmet with him. And
well, not just that. When he got up off the turf, he looked like he was going in all different directions.
His helmet
Sterling
was
Moore
up
had to
and
direct
turned,
him to the sideline.
And he was
very,
all over the place.
I find it very hard to believe he had a shoulder injury. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm not here to dispute other people's
reports. Paul calling
reports.
Out the NFL Network and the team.
Observations.
I just said I'm not here to dispute other people's reports.
No, I mean, they announced shoulder in the press box.
Yeah. It was announced
and,
as a shoulder, yeah.
And I'm I'm strictly going on observation and not anything that I know.
My own two eyes said to me, he looks concussed.
If we had a blood test, we'd know.
Speaking of concussions, Austin Collie.
Yeah, he's got to hang it up. Yes. For his own good, he's got to hang it up.
It's tough. And that was, you know, I don't know, did you guys see the hit?
Yeah.
That to me is a cheap hit.
Didn't see it.
It was one of those.
He was all wrapped up by someone else, and a linebacker came over and just forearmed him in the head.
Knowing that the guy, every time he touches the ball, he gets concussed.
Well, that shouldn't be a factor.
Yeah,
to me,
it was a cheap hit. I don't care about the guy who's getting hit as much as the fact. I don't understand why you need to do that.
Yeah. Observations, again, I go back to Cunningham. Clean as a whistle and took a guy out of the game. It can be done. I wonder how much somebody wrote, how much would the Saints bounty pay him for that hit?
Somebody wrote that on the curse words?
Yes.
Fred ignored it because he had no passion.
No, I published it. And then I said, now, playing the good guy. Observations.
Now.
Why are we not running back kickoffs?
Sound
What's
like
the use
in
of
the
preseason? I wondered that. I mean, Stallworth had a couple opportunities. He took a knee. And I thought, well, just run it out. I mean, what the
practice
hell?
Practice how you play.
Well, there was one.
Vereen made
least
him take
one,
a knee.
Yeah.
And one of
at
them,
least
yeah.
one, maybe the opening kickoff.
What was
that? It looked like he was all set to come out. And Vereen came running. And it was a low kind of driving
kick. He was only like 3-4 yards in
especially
the back.
Especially in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, so what if you only get to the 17?
Right.
You know, you're looking to get work on the kick return,
I'd be like,
set up the wedge.
Yo, I'll decide whether or not I'm running it out. Not you.
Yo.
Okay. Do you think we can assume Demps is going to be part of the equation?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If you just had to guess, and obviously it's who knows, but if you had to guess, where does the spot come from position-wise?
To make room, you mean, for Demps?
Yeah. Because I think we were all assuming there was a chance they were really going to have three running backs, maybe a fourth if, like, Spencer Larson or Catani made it as a fullback. So assuming you add Demps to that group, where do you take a spot?
That's a good question because I was trying to figure that out. And
I think you get rid of – I'm sorry.
My question is, can you get enough on him to make a decision that Woodhead is – expendable.
I don't think that's possible.
Not this quickly.
And I'm one who's ready to send Woodhead packing, but you can't.
I just can't imagine.
Right. Not in a week and a half.
Yeah, I can't. I think you're thin at running back to start with, and now you're taking a young kid who's going to have 2 weeks to prepare for a regular season, and you're going to get rid of one of the guys. I don't think that's a possibility.
So you think it has to come from?
I think it's going to be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think it's Dante Stallworth
or a linebacker.
Or they don't keep the fullback.
Yeah, there's a million possibilities.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that a fullback was a lock.
I mean,
so if you add a fullback,
is
to
Belichick,
make it five,
is Belichick?
You, add, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you gotta get
yeah
a
but
spot.
It could be offensive line where you go
oh, could
eight
be any,
instead
could
of that, nine.
That's why. That's
Nick
why
McDonald
I ask.
Can play all five spots. So now he
is,
stays.
Is no, that's why I ask Andy. I think it could be anywhere.
To keep Catani because of what the Navy did.
I don't know.
Does that sound like something Bill Belichick would do? I'm not saying he wouldn't keep him for that reason. I'm saying he being under an obligation.
I don't know.
Right.
The Navy?
I don't think he'd paint himself in a corner like that, right?
Yeah, I don't think he would do that.
Yeah.
I think he might feel that, Andy, to your point, you know, something that he feels very strongly about, obviously, with his dad. But I don't think he would necessarily feel compelled to do it. He might want to do it because of that. I think there's a difference. But, yeah, you're right. Offensive line, linebacker, even defensive line. You know,
how about safety?
You know, defensive
if Ebner
line
can now play. Maybe you look at safety differently.
Defensive line, you have a guy like Myron Pryor who's still on PUP.
Yeah, safety.
And we still don't know where he's coming from. You know,
I think I had Barrett and Ebner on the team, so I get rid of Barrett and just have Ebner, or Ahedebo, who might have been on the team.
Yeah, I don't think Ahedebo's going to.
I think Ebner could be part of it. The Ebner, maybe he can play defense type. Because you have these guys that can play both,
yeah,
corner and, you know, Sterling Moore or Tavon Wilson can play corner. Maybe you have a guy that Ebner, who now is more of a consideration on defense. I'm not saying you want him to play defense,
no,
but is a bit more of a consideration.
Yeah,
maybe that allows you to get rid of a safety you were going to keep, like a Barrett, yeah, who plays special teams, and so maybe safe. But I think there's a million positions.
Oh, yeah. That's why I asked the question.
I mean, it changes every
my
week
individual
with an injury
pick is Stallworth, and it's a combination of. I didn't think he was very impressive last night. I don't think he was open a lot last night.
I never thought Stallworth was going to make the team, except, you know, we heard the team really liked him.
Yeah, you know, and that sort of changed our opinions. And I do think that he's had some strong moments in camp, and Bill has been effusive in his praise during the press conferences. But I didn't think he was overly impressive last night. It looks to me like they were looking to get him to do something else, like return kicks last night. Well, I think Demps specifically is a guy. Why would you have Stallworth continue to be that kick return option if you have Demps?
Yeah,
which is why I kind of have tied the two together.
I've never gotten the Stallworth thing. Even the first time, remember I used to say I thought it was a one-trick pony.
I was much more, you know.
Didn't have, like, great hands in terms of, you know, just running a comeback, running an in-cut, more of a run-under-the-ball kind of guy. And I think he admitted it to me on Twitter. He's not as fast as he once was. We're seeing he doesn't have the ability to run under the ball as well as he probably once did. Aside from the fact that Bill said, you know, he's a great professional, and we all learn every day from. Well, that's great and all, but you know, you still got to be able to contribute somehow on the actual roster on the team.
In Andy's defense, he felt like that in 2007.
Yeah,
and I have been higher on Stallworth than Andy has been, but right now, and one of my friends put it this way: he's a one-trick pony who doesn't do that trick very well.
Right, right.
You know, for his career, forget about now.
Yeah,
his whole career, he's kind of a deep threat who hasn't always been able to get deep.
Right. So what's the point? Aside from you love him and he's a great professional and he's
I do like him, but
as I said,
I don't think he's earned a spot.
Do we have? It's not like we have three or four young receivers that you really want to spend some time with Dante Stallworth and see the pitfalls of the NFL and how it is to rebound from that and work and all. I mean, you have a veteran receiving core right now, so I don't really see the need.
Juvenile also says that his observations: ESPN needs a hot female sideline reporter.
Every outlet.
And one of the refs, number 8, looks like Fred's twin brother.
Really?
I don't know.
I missed that.
And unrelated, Tim Tebow's horrible short pass to a wide open receiver against the Giants, then telling him to come back for the ball. What a maroon.
You watched that, right, Fred?
I did. Yeah, he missed a wide open guy. Tebow was running to his right and threw to a guy in the end zone and just came up short. The guy was wide open.
Tebow stinks. I think we've said that for a while now.
Let's see.
Hey, can we pose the question that got us into a little fight again on the pregame social and open it up to you two guys, although Eric kind of commented. But the fact that Matthew Slater and Rob Gronkowski and Patrick Chung were the, you know, stretching captains yesterday. Slater is a returning captain, but didn't play afterwards. Gronk is not a returning captain. Didn't play afterwards. Chung did play and is probably in the conversation of captain-type duties. And Paul and I argued over Gronkowski as to whether he could be a captain. Paul doesn't think he's a leader in terms of what you're looking for
from that role. Thank
because,
you for actually relaying what I said.
Because he smiles in the offseason.
and then throwing that in there.
But
I think he could be a captain because I think he's popular and I think... You know, popularity often wins those contests.
But he also, I mean...
But I don't think, I agree with Paul that I don't think he's the kind of guy that you look to for leadership.
Like, but what does that mean? I don't get that. He's arguably one of the most charitable people on the team. Arguably one of the most giving of his time in terms of autographs, dealing with fans, being accessible. He works as hard as anyone in terms of the weight room and rehab and being ready to go on the field. Is as productive as anyone and ready to go on the football field.
Those are
field,
all true.
Battling through injury
all true.
For a Super Bowl.
All true.
What does he do that doesn't exude leadership in a follow me kind of way.
I think because of his maturity level. I think people perceive him to be immature, and if you're immature, you're not considered a leader.
Yeah, and if you're mature, you are, and I don't get the I think you can have fun and seem immature. I mean, to me, there's one issue. You know, if he's out partying too much, okay, maybe that. But I also think there's a chance that this was an intentional thing to show him this is kind of what you are. Mm. You are a leader on this football team. You're out there leading the stretching. There's a focus on you, and you may need to live up to this responsibility, whether you're technically a captain or not at this point in your career. But I just don't see the big, he couldn't possibly be a captain.
Oh, I didn't say that.
I could.
I didn't say it like that. And you know I didn't.
No, you may not have said that.
Because you have the smirk on your face that tells me.
But you did say
I don't think he's a leader.
I don't like what he does in the offseason.
I don't think he's a leader is really the long and short of my reason. I think he's one of those guys that absolutely is super talented and very much respected by his teammates. I don't think that he's one of those guys that, you know, that like, he's just crazy.
Look,
we don't know what
he's
doing.
I agree with Paul. There's some guys that are born to lead. There's other guys that are born to just march to their own drummer. And that's him.
You know, I think his drummer does everything I want.
He's the guy.
He just doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that rallies people around
him. He's the guy in that army troop that he's not the captain, but like in a pinch, he pulls you out of it.
I think in a pinch, he's dragging you while going,
shooting
his machine gun, going
exactly.
crazy.
But
and saving the platoon
because he's an elite trooper.
Right, because at that moment, he rises to the occasion.
That's what I want a captain to be. Do the right thing and rise to the
captain has to be consistent.
I think he is consistent.
Well,
I think everything about him is utterly consistent.
Yeah, but not in the way that you want for a captain.
So captains have to be boring.
Somewhat, a little bit.
See, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I think this team has had captains that I don't think are good captains.
I think he marches to his own drummer, and I think that's okay, but I don't think that's what you want in a captain.
And you're trying to kind of paint us into the corner.
The anti-Gronk club. And you
Right. Now, the next thing, they all hate Gronk. They think it's the worst tight end ever.
Right.
That's coming. That'll be like, week three of the season.
No,
that Gronk stinks.
No, that won't come. It came last night when that's what he did to me last night. You know, he painted me out to be this anti-Gronk guy, like, you can't go to the ESPYs.
Right.
You
know, quarterback like that, like, can that's go why Costa Rica.
He went to the ESPYs. That's why I don't think he can be a leader.
Continue to be yourself. That's what I want him to do. I don't want to change him and say, now you have to be a captain.
Right.
Continue to be you.
Yeah, because.
And that's okay.
What makes you think that he necessarily wants to be a captain?
Oh, I didn't
Maybe
say
he's
he
not comfortable
does.
Being, and that maybe when somebody says to him, we need you to be a captain, he suddenly feels like, maybe he tenses up. I don't want to do that.
That's
not me. It looked kind of awkward when he was, when the stretching line formed, he was in the front row looking outward towards where the captains are. And then somebody told him, no, get over here. And he was kind of like sheepish, like, okay, I'll do it. He didn't kind of like look like
he's never done it
expected
before.
It
Well, the one thing that you said that I do, I'm intrigued by is the sort of dangling of a carrot. You know, Bill is trying to say, we need you to be a little bit more like this on a consistent basis. And this is why I want to make you captain because I want you to do this.
Live up to the responsibility.
I think that's kind of a mistake.
I could understand that line of thinking, but that kind of goes along the lines of what we're talking about is we don't think he is that guy now. They're trying to get him to be a little bit more consistently doing all the things they want him to do.
Because I think captains come in different packages.
Absolutely.
No question.
Absolutely. And listen,
let
me state
Mike
this.
Vrabel is an example to me of didn't necessarily conform. He would question coaching. He would question what was going on.
Questioning
he
coaching.
Would lighten a moment with a joke where maybe it was a tense situation. I mean, I think there are different captains. Kevin Faulk, to me, was an inconvenient captain. I don't think he's a guy that is a born leader and everything. He just does things the right way, and he knew at some point in his career he evolved into a veteran player on this team who was looked at with a certain degree of responsibility.
And respect.
Gerard Mayo, I don't think, is a perfect captain. I don't think he is necessarily has the aspect of fall in line, jerk. Mm. You know, the Rodney Harrison thing.
He's not an overly vocal
I think
captain,
there are
but I think his leadership by example is exemplary
and I would
as
say,
a captain.
I would say Mayo and Gronkowski, in terms of the game of football, are equally as dedicated and do everything the same. The difference is Gerard Mayo goes home and plays his Modern Warfare 3, and that's it, and Rob Gronkowski is out and about and having fun and laughs but I've yet to see him do anything that hurt him in terms of his dedication to his career and his football
I don't
team.
Think anyone is saying that.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't think anyone is really
that.
Saying that.
Well, I think a lot of people are. I think people are the summer of Gronk. The summer of Gronk.
I don't think anyone in this room and this discussion is saying that, is what I mean.
I don't see what he's lacking to be a captain. That's what I don't get.
It's an intangible thing. Like I said, I think people just look at him and they don't...
Was Randy Moss a captain here?
I don't know.
I think he was 1 year.
I think he was 1 year.
I certainly don't look at him as a...
Do you think that Gronkowski is overly concerned with what everybody else is doing?
No.
No.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, you know, is he the guy, like,
he's not a
follower. Somebody else screws up that will get in his face and tell him, hey, you didn't do that right, you got to get on the program? Do you think his mind is... on those matters?
No, I don't.
Not necessarily.
I think
but
he
I
worries
don't think
about
Gerard Mayo's that guy.
Oh, I do.
I don't think he gets in anyone's face and says.
Well, no, I don't mean like. But he's worried about what everybody else is doing, you know, from a team standpoint on the field.
Oh, I think Gronkowski is.
You do?
I think he's a team player who's very much involved in the entirety of the offense and probably knows what most people are doing on every single.
All right. Well, give you an example.
See, again, knowing what they're doing and being concerned with it is two different things.
Right. I've got an example, perfect example for that. The other day when Edelman and Kudavides got tossed from practice for scuffling.
Right.
You know, every player who spoke after practice was asked about that incident, and I was there when Gronk was asked, and his response was, well, it had nothing to do with me. It didn't involve me at all. That, to me, and maybe to a lot of other people, might not be the type of response you would expect from someone who is either a captain or viewed as a captain. You would use that opportunity to take on a role like Deion Branch said, well, you know, it's all competitive. We all love each other. He had a better answer for that, a more captain-like answer than Gronk, who was more like, not me. Don't look at me. I'm just doing my thing.
Right.
And I think that's
the best argument yet anyone's made, but...
But I think that's sort of the intangible thing. I don't think he's at that point in his career yet where he looks at himself as a leader of men. I think he still looks at himself as like, wow, this is cool. I'm making money doing all this. I don't think he's quite there yet.
I don't want to say anything negative about him. I don't.
And
think,
I don't think that's negative. I just
it's not. It's not. But I don't want to say anything
cat.
That's perceived to be
right.
And but that's kind of how I feel about it. I think he's like you said, his own drummer. I don't think captains necessarily march to the beat of their own drummer.
Right.
Captains sort of go in line with the team.
Right.
You know?
I think he marches to his own drummer.
Okay.
Completely in line with the team.
Let me put it another way.
If that makes any sense.
If you're the coach of the head coach, Bill Belichick, and you need your circle the wagon guys, the guys that I need you guys to get this message to the rest of the team, is Gronkowski one of those guys you look to do that?
I don't think so at this point in his career.
To some degree, yes. I'm not saying if I had one and only one captain to pick, that Rob Gronkowski would be the one. What I'm saying is, on a team that generally has six captains or in that ballpark.
4 to 6, yeah.
I think he is a good guy, a young guy, who everything he's about, I like. And to me, there's no doubt the team is everything about him. I mean, handing him $55 million tells me they don't have a lot of concerns about what this guy is
but
or isn't.
I think it'd be a mistake if they're making him a captain to dangle a carrot to get him to change. We don't need that right now.
See, I don't think he needs changing. I guess that's
I don't either. Yes, I agree with you. I don't think he needs changing, but I think he would need changing if you want him to be a captain.
See, I don't necessarily, other than the comments. And I think you know where you get those? By being a captain, by being in those meetings on Saturday with Tom Brady, with Gerard Mayo, and you pick up, okay, so maybe I do need to spin that comment a little bit. I don't think everybody naturally does that. You know, I'm not sure Brandon Spikes or, you know, any of these guys just fall in line and know exactly what to say all the time. I think that's learned. I think that's what you talk about when you say you have a veteran locker room that can enhance this guy or deal with that guy. I think he would learn some of that, and I think you'd be surprised because I don't think he's as dumb as we kind of joke. I think he's capable of picking up things. And I think he would say, so that's a good answer Mayo had there.
My argument against being captain has nothing to do with intelligence. It's strictly personality at this point in his career.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
Listen, I don't think if this ends up happening, I'm not going to sit here and say, "Well, what a terrible choice! This is ridiculous." It's going
reasons they won't win the Super Bowl. Rob Gronkowski was captain.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have any. I think Andy's argument. I think he's making a strong case for Gronk. And I certainly, I probably don't, you know, reach his levels. I certainly share his enthusiasm for the player. I couldn't say enough good things about him. I still kind of maintain it's like I think Eric put it, it's sort of an intangible thing. I can't necessarily define. I just don't think he's a captain. I don't know. I don't really know any other way to say it. I just don't. I think there are some guys that are just sort of born to be soldiers, and he is elite.
Right.
And that's what he is.
And you want him to stay that way.
You
don't want him to have to worry
about
the rest
of the
guy.
We don't need you to show you know, Tyler Urban how to do this. We just need you to do this.
Right. Right.
And that's how I view him. Now, it's an intangible thing I can't really explain. That's just how I view him. Maybe I'm dead wrong. Well, you know, we'll see. And guys can sort of evolve in that way, too.
Yeah, and that's not to say that he can't become that type of person.
In
time.
When he matures
a little bit. Right, realizes that he's secure in his position in the league. Because let's not forget, he's only entering his third season. Most guys don't even make it to season 3 or 4 in this league.
Right.
I know he's an exception, and they're giving him a lot of money. And let's not forget, Vince Wilfork wasn't really a captain until he was given a big money contract and by his own admission, said, I need to become more vocal.
Yeah,
I need to become more of a captain.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that now that Gronk's gotten paid, that maybe Bill wants him to start acting his age, or at least acting his contract, acting like
I think he acts his age.
No, yeah. That's why I changed my. That's why I changed the description.
And take on more responsibility.
Take on more of a. Yeah. Maybe subtly, though. You know, like, maybe say to him, look, when you got here, Algie Crumpler was the guy you looked to. You and Aaron now are the guys that Silvestro and Urban, and you have to start looking at yourself that way. Because this is how we look at you. We gave you all this money. We gave you this responsibility. You've proven you can play in this league. You need to start growing up a little bit.
I kind of look at Hernandez, by the way, in a lot of the same things that we're talking about.
Me too.
I don't look at him as a captain.
No.
Yeah, I don't look at him in the same way.
Yeah. Well, it's
What about him is different?
I think
Ben Gronk. I mean,
wasn't quite as high as him coming out of college.
No, I was. I mean, I know you liked him,
but you didn't love him.
I didn't love him, and I wanted Jimmy Graham instead. And had they done that, they'd have the two best tight ends in football on their team and unstoppable matchups. But you know,
somehow he finds a way to pat himself on the back.
Hernandez, I don't see the. I think Hernandez is about one thing.
Himself.
And that's Aaron Hernandez catching the football and having the ball in his hands. That's the only thing he's about.
He's not as much of a team player as Gronk.
I don't think Gronk would care if he had 42 catches next year. I really don't. If he was,
when he's got all that money coming.
If he were blocking people and they're winning games,
I know what you mean.
I think you could see him. You know, Benny. You know, scores 25 touchdowns next year.
Yeah,
just hypothetically, he's on the team, whatever. I think you'd see Gronk every once in a while take the ball and spike it for him with every bit as much exuberance as he does after his own 55-yard touchdown.
I can see that.
I think he is, and I don't think Hernandez is that guy. Now, I think there's a difference there.
On the polar opposite, you got a guy like Matthew Slater, who, you know, raised a few eyebrows when they made him a captain. What do you think it was with him that they said, what was his second year or third year that they made him a captain?
Fifth year.
Was it that?
What year is he now? Five or six?
He's five now.
So it's fourth year.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think that. I mean, I know that you're just trying to make a point. I don't necessarily think that was an eyebrow raiser. I think you look at that guy, and if you're going to have a special teams captain, he's the guy.
He's pretty close to.
Yeah.
He's not Larry Izzo, but he's pretty close a special teams captain.
You know, right. I think
Sam Aiken.
Did he take over for Aiken? Or was it maybe someone else?
I think there was a year in
between. Might be a year gap in there.
But he's
that kind of guy.
The kind of guy from day one who just seemed like he was more mature than everybody else.
Those are the things that got him in the league.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Those qualities, I think, got him a look.
He answered questions like a veteran, even
Wise
when he was a rookie.
Years.
Right.
Yeah, and when 18's on the field, you better get deep.
Oh, God.
He's got speed. He uses speed.
First career
catch for him.
You know, so it's a very good conversation. So
now, will he be a captain? Any chance?
Yeah, I think there's a
chance. Absolutely.
25%.
Are we making more of what happened last night? Was it a totally nothing? We need somebody to stretch. Get the hell out there.
I think that might be true, that we're making a little bit more of it.
I think it's stupid.
Isn't that what we do?
No, I know, but like, Gerard Mayo was in uniform.
Right.
Couldn't Gerard Mayo lead
stretching? But, you know, it's funny, though.
He wasn't out there.
They had to
point
him in the right direction.
He came out afterwards.
You know, you're leading stretching. They had to point him in the right direction. It just shows how little he thought about what was going on during that time in pregame,
they haven't really done it yet.
Well, he also.
Here's
But you know that the guy's leading face everybody. You know that.
No, but
there's another question though. What is
What do you think the reasoning was behind some of the guys being in uniform and coming out later?
Like, yeah, that, I have no idea. I don't know. I've never seen that before, actually. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Well, they weren't going to participate in the warm-ups. They didn't want to take any warm-up reps away from anyone, so why have them out there?
So why did they have Gronk
out there?
Why dress them?
Gronk was out there for warm-ups.
Why have them dressed?
Well, why
That's
dress
a good
them?
Point. That's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, your reasoning for why they weren't out there is, I think, a solid one. You don't want to have 90 guys in half a field going through the pregame warm-up. But why did they then go in and get dressed and come out
just in
case stand on the sideline?
There was a rash of injuries? I don't know.
No. Yeah. Or just to get them in the pregame mold of you got to get dressed, you got to put your socks on.
If there was a rash of injuries, they weren't going to...
They'd call the game before they
put
them
back in.
They
weren't going to combat that by inserting Gronk and Mayo.
Right. I don't know.
See if we can get the key guys hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a good question. It's, you know, they came out afterwards dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we did what we thought was best for the football team.
Well there was
some guys
time,
played a lot. I mean, other guys
didn't. Patriots come under
game,
criticism about 3 years ago? It was a preseason game, and there were a bunch of guys in street clothes fooling around on the bench. And maybe they said, from now on, we don't have guys in street clothes on the bench.
But they did.
They did? Who?
Didn't you guys say there were some guys that were spotted last night, not in uniform?
No, there were guys.
Oh, then if that's the case, then you're because I know exactly the game you're talking about. Everybody had their game shirts on with jeans, and it was a frat party.
Right.
You know, Gronk was probably leading the way.
I doubt it. He probably wasn't on the team.
Yeah.
I do think it was.
See, those are the cheap shots.
Look at the utter look of disgust on Andy's face with my comment right
now. I don't know.
There.
I just love the best player on the team. You don't.
For God's sake.
I love him.
We all think he is the best player on the team other than Brady, but you know, that doesn't mean
I think
that
he might be the best player on the
best
team.
Well, but you asked, you asked a good question before. Who's going to be a captain? Or you said, is it unreasonable to think Gronk could be a captain? I think 25% chance he gets it because Brady, if you were a captain last year, I think it's safe to say you're going to be one this year. Brady will be a captain. Mayo will be a captain. Will Fork will be a captain. Slater makes the team. He's a captain. I mean, I'm not going to automatically say he makes the team.
I agree.
With
all
the special teams. That's all they need.
Mankins?
Mankins will be a captain, I would think.
And you can have, I believe, 8 or something. Because Brady never partakes in anything.
Right.
You know, the great captain he is never takes part in anything.
He's such a you know, non-leader, Brady. You know, that's what I often think. When I think Tom Brady, I think Wallflower, who has no leadership abilities whatsoever. That's what I think.
But, I mean, you're losing McCourty, I would assume. I think that takes some pressure off him and takes him out of a...
That's one where I think you could see a change.
So you could see Chung, or
I could see Chung.
See Gronkowski.
Now,
no,
would
you couldn't.
Would
I
you
could.
Feel compelled to make it a defensive player?
No. Especially not a captain who's only going to play 4 games. See, I can take cheap shots, too.
As long as it's not at Gronk.
I like
the
that.
The sacred shot. Cow.
Yeah, he is pretty sacred cowish to me.
Yeah, but everybody is open to criticism.
Oh, yeah.
Even your sacred cow should be.
And when I see reason to criticize him, I will.
George in Winnipeg says, hey, Fred, a.k.a. the big beautiful. Guy with charisma and probably a big package he's proud of, since he likes talking about and seeing other guys.
Oh, you never got back
packages.
To me about trimming your, you know what?
Hedges?
What?
There was an article that doctors... don't want people trimming down there.
They don't want.
Yes, it's
Why?
Bad. I don't know. I didn't read it.
I thought they do want to. I thought it was a war on pubes.
No, it's bad. And I think it was mostly talking about women, because I think they assume most men don't trim down there, just weirdos like you.
You really make the show better, Fred. They'd be crazy to fire you.
Who the hell is this?
Firing them?
Who's this email from? Is this your buddy Rich?
George in Winnipeg.
Oh.
Paul, a.k.a. passionate football traditionalist, who would have been super cool to hang out with when he was 20. I love your impersonations and laughter. Paul does impersonations?
Not often.
Andrew, a.k.a. No Longer Heart.
I do Michael
Irvin. I appreciate your realness and fondness of boobs, a love I also share, as well as a willingness to proclaim my average size love stick. What?
Told you. I got the 9-incher.
Eric, a.k.a. the bi man who is really straight and holding out for a 9 rather than settling for the more appropriate 6.5 or 7. Like, I like you much better.
Wait, does this guy peg you from Winnipeg?
6.5. I like you much better during doing the training camp cast and roster reports than the PFW show. Okay.
Because we let him talk on
the love you guys. Listen all the time. The best part of PFW is that you guys aren't fake professional, but rather a fun, argumentative, and politically incorrect group of fun-loving guys.
Then you get it.
On to football. Four observations. One, Solder is battling just like Matt Light early. He'll be fine. Two, which...
I agree, actually.
Which people don't like watching because the starters aren't playing. These aren't real fans. I love watching the competition between our backups. Real Pats fans know the third outside linebacker and fourth running back and are interested in seeing what they can do. Three, Ron Brace finally has emerged as a starting caliber NFL defensive tackle.
Fred, you have something you'd like to say?
And four, Hoyer and Mallett had better turn around their play or they will be released after this season. Haven't emailed in a year, but I never miss a show.
Boy, is the worm turned on Brian Hoyer.
I'm going to call in soon so you guys can come at me too. Best internet talk show, period.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
And not that I'm not picking on the email, because his evaluation of Hoyer in particular is certainly in line with most of the analysis we've gotten. People down on Brian Hoyer.
He won't actually get cut. He'll be a free
agent. Oh, no. No. But Castle-like in that year.
So he's due to
right?
step
it
in.
Was his fourth
win
year.
Win 11 games and not make the playoffs?
It was his fourth year. He had a tough preseason, if you recall. That was the year that Brady didn't play at all in the preseason.
Right. Not a snap.
And Castle got a lot of time and did not produce a whole lot of offense.
He has plateaued.
Through two games, Hoyer has gotten a lot of time and hasn't produced a lot of offense.
Right.
It's only two games. There's still two more to go.
Is Gutierrez still in the league?
I don't think
he was
so.
With KC the last I
yeah,
recall.
I mean, it wasn't too long ago that he was, but yeah. I don't think now.
Brooklyn,
I mean, if Kevin O'Connell still was, then maybe he's...
Brooklyn Matt says, Andy, a good example of personality differences which decipher who's a captain and who's not is the film Saving Private Ryan. Tom Hanks' character was the captain because he was introspective and mature. Gronk's personality more mirrors the best elite fighting soldier. Hanks' platoon had that guy, but that soldier wasn't the captain. If you recall, he was the stocky-built guy who was Hanks' right-hand man and confidant.
Tom Sizemore.
Andy, it comes down to personality and image. Gronk is a bit too adolescent and juvenile to be a captain. Gee whiz, what a shock that you didn't notice that.
Yeah, I don't notice
I
it.
I just think he overlooks it because
on a team where you have six or eight captains, I think you have different personalities. You have different styles, and I think that actually helps you when you have a roster of 61 people in the locker room. Different people are going to relate differently to different groups, and when you divide your captains up, if you don't have just one, oh, we got to have the old standby, he doesn't say anything, boring as hell, head up Bill Belichick's butt captain, well, I think you have to have a few different guys.
He finds a way to take shots at the other
guys. I think Mike Vrabel was as far from the fall in line,
right.
head up Bill's ass
right.
kind of player that you will ever meet.
Right.
But he was also the kind of guy who, if he thought you were getting out of line, he would have no problem getting in your face and telling
right.
you, get the hell back in line.
I don't see that in Gronk.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The Fox in New Mexico,
you see that in
Brian.
Gronk? You think he'd be a guy to get in someone's face and tell them to
fall
in line?
Would, yes.
Could, maybe down the line. I don't see that right now from him.
Oh, we don't know that he's needed to.
I just don't think he would take it upon himself
to
do that.
He's been here 2 years. They've had the best offense in football.
I think he keeps
so
to himself.
So most of the guys around him were doing their job. Algie Crumpler was here 1 year.
It's all hypothetical, though.
Yeah.
Right. We understand that.
You guys think he's a bad guy. I think he's a good
guy.
Oh,
man.
Brian.
Well, we think you're a bad guy.
Brian, I think New Mexico.
The military analogy, I think, works perfectly.
But it's different. You have to have one leader there. This, you don't. This, there is by rule, six or eight leaders.
And that's a good point. You know, you can't have more than one leader in a troop because.
Right. And here you do. I mean,
but I think
Belichick,
right?
And the subcommittee of leaders.
Right. I mean, listen.
There are far too many captains in football as it is.
We don't know for sure because we don't see these guys.
Every team should have three captains.
We don't
three,
see.
Not four.
Three, three's the number.
Not
three
two.
Is the number. Three's the number.
Three.
We don't see these guys, you know, outside of their element. You know, we only see the 45-minute window a day during the season. So I don't know how these guys are. But just Grunt seems to me a guy that, you know, Bill told me I need to do this.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do this.
Right.
I follow orders, and this is what I do.
Doesn't question authority.
Right.
You know, that's not a bad thing. Like you're trying to make it out to be that
you hate Gronk.
He's incapable of doing. I think that he is a.
He'll run in the burning building and pull out the baby, but he's not the guy that is in charge of all the firefighters.
Right. He's not going to tell you to go run into the burning building and
save
the baby. He'll do it if you tell him to, but he's not going to tell you to do it.
Yeah. You know, and I think
you need a leader who is going to tell you to do it.
And it's less about. And I know that you fixate on this part, Andy. It's less about what he does off the field to me. I don't necessarily, I mean, as long as he's ready to play football, and there's every indication to think that he is always ready to play football.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the part that would concern me, although I don't think that's ideal. It has not affected him. I wonder if he would continue to act like that as a captain, if that could affect somebody else. Much like people used to say about Randy Moss. The problem wasn't that the Randy Moss's teammates didn't like him.
Oh, it's
to
like
the
they
contrary,
liked him too
much. They liked him too much.
Right.
And they followed him.
Right. Right off the cliff.
And you can't do it the way the elite guy does it and get away with it because you're not elite.
But I think
that's excellent example, Paul.
Yeah,
Randy Moss is
that
guy.
That's what my concern would be. It's not Gronk. It's what the other guys would be like around Gronk if they thought, that's the way I'm supposed to do it.
God forbid they eat, drink, and sleep football.
We can't have every player.
You think Rob Gronkowski eats, drinks, and sleeps football?
I think he's as dedicated to the game of football as anyone on that 88-man roster.
Is that what we're down to now?
Yeah.
I think he's dedicated to being a guy.
I think he's dedicated to football when he needs to be. I'll say that.
Well, what do you mean by that?
You know, when it's time to play football, he's ready to go.
It's time to play.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he's always.
I think, but Andy, what I'm saying is.
So he's like Brady.
In some respects.
And Brady's been a captain since when?
But Brady's idea
of playing
is being with
his like
family.
That. Brady wasn't always the way he is now.
No,
would you agree with that?
Yeah.
There was a time in his life where it was all about football.
Because that's all he had.
Well,
right?
I don't know exactly
he had his
when
family,
that was.
You know, but
was that when he was dancing on tabletops with Tara Reid? I'm not sure when exactly.
But
that
he was with his teammates when he was doing
Brady's,
it.
You know, off field.
I think a young Brady and a young Gronkowski were very similar.
Wow.
I think they went to beauty pageants. I think they took opportunity of what they were in life, dated hot women.
I
and
think
actresses,
there's a lot of similarities.
Had some fun,
I
and
really
Brady
don't,
settled
but
down.
That's okay.
Yeah. You know what I think the major difference is? Brady has three sisters or whatever it is, which is a little different than having
three
four brothers or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
No, I think that leads to a frat boy chaos that is available because of who he is, and I think you might have seen a little more of that if Brady had the same three brothers.
We just can't have 53 guys wearing Zubas. That just wouldn't work.
And with that.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for joining us. Eric and I are off to Tampa, so we'll be reporting from down there. Andy and Paul will be here. They'll be doing the show on Thursday at noon. And don't forget, Fantasy Football Champs today at 4 o'clock. Get your draft ready. Get your season ready. These guys know their stuff. And we'll talk to you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.